at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The 14-year federal ban on silicone breast implants is lifted today.
After a lengthy and rigorous scientific review, FDA today has given approval to two companies to market silicone gel-filled breast implants for breast reconstruction in women of all ages and breast augmentation in women ages 22 and older.
That's the FDA's Dr. Dan Schultz. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Emily Sine.
Generally speaking, the medical community is now saying that these breast implants are safe and effective, and that women who are interested in silicone gel breast implants can't have access to them.
Although some concerns linger, the government is giving a couple of California companies permission to sell silicone gel breast implants. The Bush administration's choice for a new national family planning coordinator drawing some controversy.
President Bush's choice to oversee federal family planning programs is praised by conservatives. At Massachusetts Crisis Pregnancy Centers, Eric Kerouac has pioneered the use of ultrasound to deter women from abortions. But it's his strong opposition to birth control that has critics stirred up.
98% of American women have used birth control at some time in their lives.
Nancy Keenan heads the abortion rights group NARAL. Kerouac will advise Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt on teen pregnancy issues and abstinence programs. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Record territory again for the Dow today, finishing up 36 points, and another drop in crude oil, finishing below $56. That's the lowest level in nearly a year and a half. Industry analyst Peter Butel on expectations for the future.
I don't expect that we're going to see the kinds of prices that we saw over the summer again for a number of years. I think we've broken the back of this market, and I think we can look forward to gradually lowering prices over a period of years now.
And what's it all mean when we're filling up? Jeff Sundstrom, AAA.
None of those dire scenarios actually came to pass. And we find ourselves right now with a market relatively well supplied with oil and a somewhat slowing economy. And that's a prescription for lower prices at the pump.
Yeah, like lower than $2 a gallon, he says. Bo Schembechler is dead. Tough disciplinarian football coach, winningest ever at the University of Michigan, collapsing today while taping a TV sports show. He was 77. His death comes on the eve of what's being called the biggest football game ever between arch rivals Ohio State and University of Michigan.
This is Steve Futterman on the Ohio State campus in Columbus. At tomorrow's showdown game between Michigan and Ohio State, perhaps the biggest matchup in the history of the two schools' bitter rivalry, they will remember Bo Schembechler. There will be a moment of silence. Although Schembechler will always be remembered as a Michigan man, for several years he was also an Ohio State man as an assistant coach. Tomorrow, he will be saluted by fans from both schools.
The Dow finishing in record territory again. This is CBS News.
This Sunday, experience a journey of incredible courage. They overcame starvation, brutal cold, and unseen enemies to make their place in a new world. It was a true test of manhood, even for the women and children. The Pilgrims. You've never heard their story like this. Taken from first-hand accounts. Desperate Crossing. The untold story of the Mayflower. Premieres Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen. But more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
PlayStation 3, long lines, big crowds, not nearly enough of the hot new toys to please.
They waited in line for 50 hours, but three brothers who were also triplets say they didn't even get their PlayStation back to the apartment. Andreas Caicedo says a man approached them as they got out of their car.
He had like something pointing like this, and I thought it was a gun or a knife or something, so yeah, pretty much I was going
to
die.
His brother Daniel says he tried to chase the man and two accomplices.
The driver came right behind me, no joke.
3 feet away, almost got run over.
No one was hurt. A police report was filed. Now, instead of playing all night, they're trying to track down the PlayStation that was theirs ever so briefly on the Internet. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In New York, an outpouring of support for a couple of deformed puppies saved from being put to death. Surgeons and veterinarians offering to help the pair, both born with cleft palates in need of 3 operations each. Also, a long line of folks volunteering to give those puppies homes. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS.
And now, it's Enid Live with Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And the Friday is the day of the week when we really, you know, if it's a flea market of ideas, Friday is even more so, because we tie up everything that we had a chance to talk about this week and that we didn't have a chance to talk about this week and that we should have had a chance to talk about this week. And you are welcome to contribute to the stew of ideas of things that you think we should have talked about this week that maybe we didn't have a chance to really amplify. Let me give you the numbers. Always toll free, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And I would love to encourage you to consider calling Enid Live today. If you have never called a radio talk show, or if you have rarely called, or if you were thinking about calling, do it. Think about doing it. I know it's a little, you know, it's like I'd rather listen and not put myself out there. I'm going to get nervous if I do this. But we would love to have your thoughts. And some of you come up with the most wonderful stuff. Things that the rest of us wouldn't think of. Remember, you will be heard probably by more people than you will meet in the whole rest of your life. You could alter the dialogue. You could amuse us and you could enlighten us. And you could contribute to what is a daily 4-hour, we hope, vibrant conversation. And I want to remind you that you can email me, Enid, at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320 Left Channel. com. I have to laugh. I have to share this with you. One of the things we talked about yesterday, and I had a thought about it, so I've got to reprise it. We talked about sex. Well, we talked about all. We were talking about a lot of things. But we just got an advisory from CBS News, and listen to this. The advisory is that the FDA is ending a 14-year ban, and you heard it at the top of the hour, is ending a 14-year ban on silicone gel breast implants. So, like, this is really big news. Everybody can now start looking like Dolly Parton, can start looking like your Thanksgiving turkey, which also looks like Dolly Parton, because they breed them to have breasts so huge that they can't stand up, really. And they can't have sex either without turkey jerkers. And I'm not making that up. They have because they've bred them now to be stupid, and because they've bred them to be top-heavy with breasts. And apparently it's like men, you know, men only have enough blood to power one system at a time. It's either the brain or the nether region, or their giblets, and you can imagine which one wins. And I guess women or turkeys have enough blood to power the breasts and their brains, and if it's the breasts, the brains are the losers, I guess. Maybe not. One of the stories we talked about yesterday was this 20-year-old man who is facing charges that he had sex last month with a dead deer. Well, he's already served time for killing a horse that he intended to sexually assault. I don't know how they determined that. But allegedly, he found the deer in a ditch alongside a roadway. And his attorney, if you will recall from yesterday's conversation, is exceedingly clever here. Because while there might be some laws on the books against having interspecies dating, you know, having sex with an animal, apparently there's no statute that prohibits somebody from having sex with a carcass. So this being a carcass, you know, here he's facing some more pokey time, because he's facing charges that he had sex last month with a dead deer. And I was thinking to myself, maybe the deer wasn't dead. Maybe the deer was just unenthusiastic. And then I was thinking about, well, what, you know, the horse. Well, I, you know, can't beat a dead horse, I guess, would be the headline of that. But you might have some other headlines that you want to share with us today. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And in a related but unrelated story, Mike Tyson, remember him? Gentle Mike? He is going to become a male, he's going to become a male prostitute. Heidi Fleiss, remember her? She's a madam. She has just bought 60 acres of land in Nevada, and she is opening up an establishment, an emporium, called Heidi's Stud Farm. And so former boxing champ Mike Tyson is set to become a male escort after, well, so I don't, what is a male escort, I thought, goes places with you. But, well, as a male prostitute takes you places, maybe, I don't know. But in any event, she has high hopes for Tyson. Once the heavyweight champion of the world, despite the fact that he is a convicted rapist. She says, I told him, you're going to be my big stallion. And it's every man's fear that their girlfriend will go for Mike Tyson, said Heidi Fleiss, whose father's a pediatrician, by the way. Tyson, 40, adds, I don't care what any man says. It's every man's dream to please every woman and get paid for it. So I'm thinking, if Heidi's recruiting for her stud farm, for Heidi's stud farm, you know who else I think she should add to the roster? I think she should add OJ to the roster, since he's already whoring himself out with this new book. He's already a whore, so maybe he should just join Tyson, and you could have your choice of OJ. You could have your choice of someone who should have been a convicted killer and someone who is a convicted rapist. And I wonder how much he's getting per roll in the hay. And what happens, you know, Mike Tyson, he was always on top of the world, heavyweight boxing champ, you know, married beautiful women. What happens when women who are, oh, shall we say, portly and perhaps not as gorgeous as Robin Givens was, and they are plunking their money down on the bar and they say, I want you, and you better perform, and, you know, if you ever have seen documentaries about porn films being made, adult entertainment films, and it's not the female who has problems performing or faking her performance, but it is the male, and they're always having to, you know, make accommodations on the set to the male because they're hoping for the wood, what they call it, so wonderfully and so picturesquely. They're waiting for the wood shot. So there it is, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Well, I thought this was pretty interesting. I am looking at some information about, what's his name, going to the pokey. Abramoff is on his way to the pokey. And in a one of the lower paragraphs of the story, it talks about how there has been a tremendous amount of fallout from the investigation to do with Jack Abramoff. And it talks about who is under investigation in the Jack Abramoff scandal. And what I think the Republicans would like you to believe is that some of the people under investigation in the Jack Abramoff scandal are Democrats. But that's actually, as far as we know, that's not the case. What we do know is it's mainly Republicans. And in this story, they particularly talked about John Doolittle. So they sort of focused on him, that he was one of the targets of the investigation of Jack Abramoff. And I bring that up because one of the things that happened in the Doolittle, the election, was that Doolittle and a lot of other Republicans were using robocalls. So one of the first things that's going to happen in this administration is that Barack Obama is putting up some legislation that will make robocalls illegal. So the minute I heard that, I thought, oh, deep doo 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 little, that was how he squeaked by. But remember, we have ballots that have to be counted, provisional ballots that have to be counted. So I thought it was interesting that in the story about Doolittle, or in the story about Abramoff and how he's on his way to the pokey, and that this is his last email to his friends for quite a while, It turns out that Doolittle is a focus, sort of in a tangential way. They were talking about Conrad Burns, for example, who received about $150,000 in Abramoff-related donations and whose aides traveled on the lobbyist jet to the 2001 Super Bowl. Burns denied any wrongdoing, but he lost the election. Though two of DeLay's aides have pleaded guilty, the former majority leader maintains his innocence. He is innocent and has not been charged. Among others under scrutiny, and this is in the Abramoff matter, is California Republican John Doolittle, who accepted campaign money from Abramoff. And here's something that I did not know, and it did not come out in the... If it came out in the campaign, it didn't come out in a big way. So here it is. He not only accepted campaign money from Jack Abramoff, but he also used Abramoff's luxury sports box for a fundraiser without initially reporting it. So he probably only reported it when he had to do that. But he did not. So this tells you something about Doolittle, in case you needed more information about the level of his honesty. He doesn't have any. You know, the wife, it's maybe not illegal to skim off the money and put it in the family's pocketbook, the 15% that she does of all campaign contributions, but it is certainly unethical. So, in this story about Adios Abramoff bidding farewell to the free world, and as you know, if you're in the federal pokey, you've got to work, and he's going to be paid between 12 and 40 cents an hour. And I can give you his address if you want to write to him. But among others under scrutiny is California Representative John Doolittle, who accepted campaign money from Abramoff and used the lobbyist's luxury sports box for a fundraiser without initially reporting it. 349-1320, Senator Barack Obama introduces a bill to criminalize robocalling harassment. And that's one of the things we think might have helped Doolittle win. Those robocalls. The robocalls sound like they were coming from Charlie Brown. They weren't coming from Charlie Brown. They dissed Charlie Brown, but they were annoying. If you hung up on them, you got called a million more times, and you kept thinking that it was the Charlie Brown campaign calling you. And if you listened long enough, so they had you on both prongs. If you didn't listen, you thought it was Charlie Brown, and you were annoyed, and you hung up. And if you did listen, they trashed Charlie Brown. So either way, Charlie Brown came in for a trashing and a thrashing. 349-1320. Abramoff, there have been reports that Abramoff is singing about Democrats who are taking money from him. Apparently, that's not the case. Apparently, he hardly knew any Democrats. So so there are counter reports that really it's not Democrats, it's Republicans. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. One of our favorites in the who didn't make it, and there were two. Bill Durston didn't make it, and Charlie Brown didn't make it. Dan Lundgren was bidding for a leadership post. Dan Lundgren's last-minute bid to become chairman of the House Republican Conference failed today when he came out fourth out of four members vying in the first round of balloting for the third-ranking leadership post. All the Republicans' leadership positions were up for election Friday, and in the aftermath of the congressional elections ousting the GOP from power, most were contested. Lundgren was among those advocating reforms that would give rank-and-file members a stronger voice in the policy decisions. When the balloting was over, the winners who will lead the conference when the 2007-2008 session convenes in January were holdovers from the current congressional session, and none of them were Dan Lundgren, and isn't that nice? 349-1320, Nancy in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, no, not Nancy.
Not Nancy? Who?
No, it's Kim.
Oh, hi, Kim. Welcome.
Hi, I want to tell you, I don't know if you've read this book or not, but I'm reading it now. It's called The Heist by Peter Stone, and it's the subtitle is How Super Lobbyist Jack Abramoff Came to Power. And he writes for the National Journal, Peter Stone, and this was his first book, which I can't even believe because he's a wonderful writer.
I've heard a little bit about the book, but do you have it? Are you reading it? Tell us about it.
Yes, I am reading it, and I'm only into about the first 100 pages, which is literally enough to make you want to throw up. The triangulation between Grover Norquist, Ralph Reed, Abramoff, the Christian Coalition, Tom DeLay, the Marianas Islands, it's mind-boggling. I haven't gotten to the Doolittle section, but I cannot wait to get to it. And he's a great writer. He's got lots of stuff on National Journal, and it's basically just all about Abramoff and all of his connections. And there's stuff about Rove in there. There is stuff literally.
It's being reported that Rove might say adios in the next few weeks. I don't know if that's true, but I have a little bit of news on that. All right, give us the name. It's called The Heist.
All right, it's called The Heist.
And the author is?
It's Peter Stone.
S-T-O-N-E?
Yep, just like it sounds, Stone.
Okay.
And in the subtitle is like how super lobbyist Jack Abramoff came to power. And then, of course, you know, his fall. And it's just, it's riveting so far. And it's, I mean, you get so mad reading it because you just cannot believe the abuse of power. It's just, it's mind-boggling.
Well, Grover Norquist wanted to starve the beast of government, but he had nonprofits, and I think Ralph Reed also had nonprofits, and all of these guys were completely dishonest in acting as a kind of money laundering machine for Jack Abramoff, so that they used their nonprofits, they skimmed a lot of money, they charged Abramoff, Abramoff kicked back to them for the use of the nonprofit, so that you couldn't trace some of this stuff back to Abramoff. That's one understanding I have of it. Does that pretty much square with what Stone is saying?
Yeah, that squares with it, especially for your listeners that are unfamiliar with Grover Norquist. He is a real piece of work. I've been following this story since about 2001 because I saw him on C-SPAN one day, and he just infuriated me. So I looked him up on Google, and I couldn't believe all the stuff that I could find on Grover Norquist.
Well, let me just say something. I want to say something about Ralph Reed. These are people who have manipulated the religious right, who have pretended to be one thing, and they were really crooked and corrupt on the behind the scenes, and some of that now is coming out. So I think they've all lost a lot of credibility. I think when Abramoff went down, they went down too.
Right. Well,
at least a few pegs from where they had been.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say about this Harry Reid thing, because I've been, hearing about that, is, Harry Reid, for anyone that doesn't know, like Senator Ensign, is from Nevada. Nevada senators and congresspeople, they get money from casinos and gambling institutions. That's the way it goes. And I think Harry Reid so far has been fairly above board, and there really isn't much about him in this book at all. There's like a blurb about him.
How far are you into the book, Nancy?
I'm about 100 pages into it, and it's not a really long book. It's about 250 pages.
All right, so you're almost halfway. If you get into any of the Doolittle stuff, let us know, and I'll start looking into this book. And I really thank you very much for turning us on to it. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yes, you too.
Bye-bye.
349-1320-866-2613-20. The Heist is the book, and it's all about Abramoff and all of this treacherous stuff. I was thinking about the Democrats, and I was thinking about the Republicans. And here's the story about here's what's going to happen. I mean, here's what people are saying about the Democrats. The easy part was winning the election. This is what some people are saying, and you may want to weigh in on this. The easy part was winning the election. The hard part is, what are you going to do about Iraq? How are you going to fix this? So as if things fall apart, the Republicans, I would say, are corrupt. And I hope I'm wrong on this. And the Democrats are inept. And they both end with a PT. Corrupt and inept. So I hope I'm not right about that. So here we are. Jack Abramoff going off to the pokey, saying adios to everybody. And at the end of the piece, we find out about Doolittle under scrutiny, and that he used this luxury box of Abramoff's, and he never admitted it until probably he was forced to do so. Barry in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Enid. Something about Abramoff that I think a lot of people probably aren't aware of. He purchased Sun Cruise casino boats, with fake money. It was money that was non-existent. But anyway,
that is what he's going to prison for.
Right. Well, check this out, though. Okay, so Gus Bruce, and Gus Bruce reluctantly put to him, and then when he didn't get the money, he was going back to Abramoff saying, hey, pay me. Shortly after this, Gus Brewis was murdered.
Right.
Gangland style. I mean, he had, and this was like the Sicilian mafia. They just, you know, cornered him in his car and they just, you know, fired on him and the guy's dead, okay? And these Sicilian mafia guys had a check written to them for, I think it was 100 grand, something like that, from Adam Kidan, who was hired by, who had no experience in what he was hired for, which was to manage some company or something. But he got these Sicilian mafia guys got a check from Adam Kidan, okay, who was hired by Abramoff.
Right.
Not only that, but just, it was like a week before 9/11, okay, it's documented as employees and what that Muhammad Atta.
Barry, you are breaking up, and I'm not hearing all of your stuff. So just tell me, kind of get to the chase. What you're saying is you think that Abramoff was probably behind the murder?
Probably behind the murder, and not only that, the other thing is that this Sun Cruise Casino boat has ties to the supposed hijackers of 9/11, and I say supposed because I think it's clearly an inside job.
Oh.
That's what I want.
Well, I don't know about the connection with the 9/11, but I do know that the guy you're talking about did die. The whole thing is really suspicious. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. And Abramoff is going off to the pokey for only 6 years. Too bad. Maybe they can find some other charges to charge him with. Thanks for that update, Barry. 349-1320, 866 26 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. I'm now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we're going to see maybe some sprinkles on through the next couple of days. We saw some a little bit today on my way here. Our traffic slowed down South End 99 right by Fruit Ridge Road. Looks like Florin Road as well, Elk Grove Boulevard. Westbound I-80 just west of Greenback Lane. We have a vehicle on the right-hand side slowing traffic down over there as well. And Bell Street at Wyda, two-car crash stopping traffic there. So you might want to go just a little bit around it. And Folsom Boulevard at Bradshaw Road, a two-car crash, and you know how slow that gets. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It's Enid Live, doing full frontal talk radio, AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Enid Goldstein here for Smud Greenergy. More than 30,000 Smud customers have signed up for the Greenergy program, making it one of the most successful renewable power programs in the country. Do your part by joining the Green Team. More at smud.org/green.
This is an AM 1320 left channel action calendar. Sacramento's Media Edge presents a screening of the award-winning film Shadow Company on Tuesday, November 21st at the Crest Theater at 7:30 p.m. In the late 20th century, the distinction between soldier and mercenary became blurred. The recent use of private military companies in Iraq has been more extensive than at any time in modern history. Shadow Company is a groundbreaking full-length documentary that explores the moral and ethical issues private military solutions create and addresses the risks of allowing profit-motivated corporations into the business of war. See Shadow Company Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Admission is $10. The screening benefits local alternative media, including Media Edge. More information is at We The Media TV or on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. Did you know there are 10 million people in the U.S. who have cancer? That's why it's great to know there are places like City of Hope Cancer Center that are on a fast track with research to find a cure. With new approaches like immunotherapy that use the body's own immune system to fight cancer. And they're helping create new drugs like Herceptin or Rituxan that are saving lives everywhere, every day. Now that's something to sing about. For more information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. Legendary University of Michigan football coach Bo Schembechler died, and I'm really sorry because I went to Michigan. And here we are on the eve of the legendary Ohio State Michigan University of Michigan game, and I guess he was on a he fell ill while he was preparing for a taping of a TV show. He was 77 years old. He never regained consciousness after his collapse. He has been called the icon of Michigan football. He and his wife had a three-hour dinner Thursday night at an Ann Arbor restaurant, and there were a number of people there, and he was really excited about the game, and he's dead at the age of 77. And all I can say is, go Blue, 349-1320. It's a sad story, I know. We're really sorry. But it happened very quickly, and he had a wonderful career. And Bo Schembechler dead at the age of 77. But we want Michigan to win. Go Blue for the big game. We've been talking about a number of different things. We're talking about Abramoff. And when Abramoff is discussed in a piece in the paper about going off to the Pokey, there is Doolittle, because there's all kinds of stuff that I wasn't quite aware of, that Abramoff had funneled Doolittle's into Doolittle's pocket, and Doolittle didn't admit it until he was forced to do that. And you might have some thoughts about that as well. The city is fretting over the Arco loan. The clock is ticking. Again, the arena, every day there's a new arena or arena-like story. The ticking is getting louder. Terms of a $70 million loan approved almost 10 years ago call for the city to find a new financing plan for the entire amount by April. The city guaranteed the loan in an attempt to keep the Kings in town, and it falls to the city to refinance the deal. So they've got to figure out. They've got, you know, it is a mess. That whole thing is just a huge mess. I also got this notification. It's our fabulous Friday show, so all, you know, Flea Market Central here. Guess what? Schwartzy is forming an inaugural committee. They're setting the date for the inaugural ceremony, where I guess he's formally sworn in. If you remember Ronald Reagan, when he was sworn in, it was like 1201 or something, because they had the astrologer Joan Quigley, who lived in the Bay Area, and that was the auspicious moment. Well, it must have worked, because he went on to become president. In any event, Schwartzy has announced the formation of an inaugural committee to oversee the swearing-in ceremony and formal activities in conjunction with his first and only formal inauguration. What happened when he came in the last time? What did he do? Just slip in at night and that's it? He showed up at his desk the next morning? Well, in any event, Marty Wilson, whomever that might be, is serving as the chairman of the governor's 2007 inaugural committee. Joining him are our committee executive director Reed Galen and executive producer Carl Bendix. Governor Schwarzenegger looks forward to serving the people of California for 4 more years. Well, I better get a waiter's uniform, Galen said. The governor will use this important occasion to further the spirit of bipolar cooperation in Sacramento and continue with his vision of moving California forward. The inaugural ceremony is going to be held at Friday, January 5 at 11 o'clock in the morning. So not an evening swearing in. It's going to be a morning event at the Memorial Auditorium in Sacramento, 11 a.m. Friday, January 5. His 2007 inaugural committee is a 501c4 organization. I'm not sure I know quite what that means, but probably maybe you can get some deduction, or it's a kind of a charitable. I'm not sure exactly. Or you don't have to report how much money you donate to it. I have a feeling I'm not going to be invited. You know, I might be waiting by my phone in the mailbox, waiting for the fax machine or my computer to get an email invitation to this. But I think I'm not going to be invited. I have a feeling that that's not going to happen. I think they probably lost my name, and I'm not going to be there. Well, I have to tell you a funny story, which if you were listening, you may have heard me tell it. When we had Capitol Clear Speak Day once a year, that happens on the steps of the Capitol. They put a tent over it, and radio stations from all over the state of California are invited to come in and set up shop and do our shows live and meet a bunch of legislators. This is put on by the Republicans, but because you're on the grounds of the Capitol, they can't restrict it to only Republican or only conservative radio stations. And I think we were probably AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel, I think we were probably the only non-conservative, progressive radio station there. And Schwartzy came in, and of course we were the only station he didn't get near. He went to all the other ones, but he didn't come to us. And there was a dinner that night at the Hyatt Regency, I think. And he went around, he spoke, and then he came around to every single table and talked to all of us. And that's when I said, I said, you know, you're sleeping with a Democrat. Don't you want to be on a show that speaks to Democrats? Don't you want, you know, your outreach? And yes. And he said, give me your card. So I gave him my card. And I, you know, eventually the evening wound to a close, and I left. I went to the lobby to reclaim my car at the parking stand there in the lobby. And I see somebody I know who's bustling off in a particular direction. Then I see the elevator open up, and who is emerging from the elevator but old Schwartzy himself and his retinue of his entourage of handlers and security detail and so on. And everybody is spilling out of the elevator, and they're all going in the same direction as my friend, who has just said, oh, I can't talk to you right now, I just got an important call. And so they're all heading off in the same direction. Well, I claim my car, and your goddess is drives home. And I come to find out the next day that the direction everybody was headed in is the direction of a private party somewhere in the Hyatt Regency, not where we were having our dinner, but one of the private rooms. And you had to be invited to that. And, of course, the conservative radio station people were invited to it. And who knows who else, all the inner circle. But moi, your radio goddess, who is good company at a party, I think sometimes anyway, was not invited. Oh, well, okay, you know, that's what happens. It's too bad. Your tax dollars at work or not. But in due time, in a couple of weeks, maybe a week or two after that, I get a handwritten thank you note from Schwarzenegger's people, the deputy assistant junior somebody. And there are two of them, two deputy assistant junior somebodies, who both, and it's a handwritten note, and they both sign their name. They each have a little message from me, handwritten. And they have written to thank me so much for coming to that private party at the end of the dinner, to which I was not invited and would have loved to have gone and to have been at least a fly on the wall. So I just started laughing. So I called the deputy assistant junior person who sent me the thank you note, and I said, Nicole, I said, how kind of you to thank me. It was lovely to receive this note from you. I said, but I was actually never invited to the private party, though I wish I had been, says I. And Nicole said, oh, yes, you were. You were there. She was kind of mean for a person so etiquette savvy that she writes me a handwritten note. Yes, you were there. I said, actually, Nicole, I think I would have remembered if I had been there, but no, I wasn't there. Yes, you were. We have your card. And I said, well, the card was because the governor asked me to give him his card so that we could maybe sometime have him on the program. So I bring you this in the spirit of, I don't think I'm going to get invited to his inaugural anytime soon. But, you know, you never know. I could maybe get a thank you note for not having been there or because they thought I was there. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But they were up against your goddess here, who collects old etiquette books. And she knew what to do in a moment of etiquette crisis. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our weather, I just love this weather. Walking out just feels so good. It's beautiful. Traffic, not as beautiful, but it's looking okay. All of our southbound 99s have been cleaned up. We do have a two-car crash by Florin Road, westbound Florin Road. Otherwise, I think it's okay. Our Folsom Boulevard and Bradshaw Road has been cleaned up as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello, citizens of the world.
Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference. Make a
difference. If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved.
And be sure to bookmark it.
The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
How would you like to cut your mortgage payment by over 50%? Then pay close attention, because the new Secure Advantage loan, only from Quicken Loans, could cut your payment in half. With the new Secure Advantage loan, you get the advantage of choosing an incredibly low payment month after month, plus the security of knowing your low rate is fixed for years. But these low rates may not last, so call 800-355-5029 to get your fixed rate fast. Join other California homeowners who are putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets. Call 800-355-5029 to see how Secure Advantage could cut your mortgage payment by more than half. That's a 50% lower payment and a fixed rate. Call Quicken Loans at 800-355-5029 and ask about the Secure Advantage loan. Call now, 800-355-5029. Equal housing lender, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Call Quicken Loans now, 800-355-5029.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
I'm taking care of myself, making the decisions that are right for me.
We're informed, prepared, just in case.
We're starting a family, and we're so excited.
I'm using protection.
Definitely. Getting tested, too.
To be sure. At Planned Parenthood, we are here for you with high-quality personal care at an affordable cost. Take care of yourself.
For a wide range of health information and services, call 1-800-230-PLAN.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
341 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I hope you're doing your homework assignment and telling 3 to 5 people every single day that... even if you don't know them, that we are here, because a lot of people still don't know that we are. So it comes as a great surprise to a lot of people that there is progressive radio in Sacramento, and I don't know why it should, but it does. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the inauguration, which I don't think I'm going to be invited to, Schwartz's inauguration. And I want to also expand the discussion to truth, because that was something that came up yesterday. But let's go to the phones first. Chris in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Enid. I enjoy your show, and I especially like your laugh.
Oh, well, thank you. There's much to laugh about, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a good attitude. I'm really paranoid. I hope it's paranoia about the right-wing media control. It's not going to matter if the Democrats are in power, if the media controls, they won't even cover what's happening. And we need to rein them in. I'm glad to hear that Barack Obama is doing something, but...
All right, now, wait a minute. Your fear is it doesn't matter if the Democrats are in control, because most of the media is consolidated and it's in the hands of corporate interests, and they tend to lean right. That's what you're saying.
They don't tend to. Oh, my God. It's just...
Well, then, let me just say what I said earlier. I said the difference between the Republicans and Democrats, the Republicans are corrupt and the Democrats are inept. So I'm not saying that there aren't corrupt Democrats, too, but so I don't know. Because what the legacy is, as somebody else pointed out, the easier thing was to get elected. Yes. The harder thing is what are you going to do about Iraq? What are you going to do about this mess that this administration in a very short period of time has left us in?
Yeah, and if, as well as Iraq, if they don't tackle the media and get back some control of it, public control of it, they're, you know, by next election, the Republicans will be driving the message.
Well, you might be right about that. Actually, you're making an excellent point, and I'm glad that you called to make it. Thank you, Chris. 349-1320. Here's what Chris has to say. She says, if the media consolidation continues. Now, I don't know if you've been reading the business pages, but Clear Channel, which is the largest radio station ownership in the country, has just been sold. Some financial group has taken them over. They're going to divest themselves of about 400 or 500 radio stations, but mostly in very tiny little markets. So that deconsolidates a little bit. I think they own about, 1,200, 1,400 radio stations, and they're going to sell, the figure I recall reading is something like 486. Well, that's a nice start. But we are living in a world, now think about this. We're living in a world where the circulation for reading, for newspapers, for the sale of newspapers is declining. Circulation readership is newspaper readership is declining. Circulation is down. Revenues are flat for newspapers. They still make a lot of money, but revenues have been kind of flat, maybe even down for newspapers. So if people aren't going to read about what's going on, and they're going to catch their news in these little snippets that you get by watching TV and listening, you know, hither and thither, you're not going to get a real picture. So maybe Chris is wise to be concerned about this. And I think all of us should be concerned about it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. One of the things we talked about yesterday, and I have a little bit of an update. One of the things we talked about yesterday was telling the truth. And the specific form that telling the truth took in our discussion yesterday was a Wall Street Journal report on all of these websites where you can find sermons. So if you're a minister, if you're a member of the clergy, you don't even have to write your own sermon. You can go online. You can go to a site called DesperatePreachers.com. You can go to Sermons.com. There are a lot of places where you can find sermons on the website, on the net. Sometimes, most of the time, I think they're free. Sometimes you have to pay $10 or so. And the real nugget in the story, I thought, was that a lot of ministers are using these sermons, and they aren't saying that they are. And some ministers, the ones interviewed for the story, had no problem whatsoever in using these sermons. They said it's a better product than anything they could come up with. And I thought about it more last night. And I thought, you know what this comes down to? I mean, what we talked about is you want your clergy to represent a higher standard than the rest of us. You go to a house of worship to make contact with the divine, to elevate yourself, to be inspired. I mean, there are a million reasons why I suppose people go to a house of worship, but I felt like I hadn't really nailed it. And as I thought about it last night, the real crux of it was that these ministers were not telling the truth. And I think truth is what you are going. One of the things you are going to achieve in a house of worship. You want the truth. Well, or you want some version of the truth. But you don't want somebody who's pilfering a sermon not to admit that that's what's going on. And I bring that up because what we were talking about and what we have been talking about, a kind of sub-theme of the program, has been, it almost doesn't matter what area of life we're looking into, the bottom line is the bottom line. And one example I've always given is medicine. You know, you thought you were going to your doctor and you could take what your doctor said you thought it was an honest opinion, but it's not necessarily an honest opinion because he could be on the take from big pharma, from the pharmaceutical houses. I mean, you don't know. And more those stories are revealed. Well, it gets worse. This is Los Angeles. Prosecutors have announced civil criminal charges against a major hospital chain. And it was Kaiser saying that it rid itself of a homeless patient by dumping her on a crime-plagued Skid Row, and that she was demented on top of it. So they put her in a taxi, and they sent her to Skid Row. What'd they do? Pay a one-way fare, and they dumped her at Skid Row. Kaiser Foundation Hospitals, part of Kaiser Permanente, it's the largest HMO in the nation, will be held accountable for violating state law, its commitment to its patients, its obligations under the Hippocratic Oath, and perhaps more importantly, principles of common decency. Kaiser's Bellflower Hospital, which discharged the woman, is among 10 hospitals in the L.A. area under investigation on suspicion of discharging homeless patients onto the streets instead of into the custody of a relative or a shelter. Now, this is pretty amazing. You've got somebody who'd been admitted to the hospital. Now they are homeless or they don't have too many places to go. And what does the hospital do? The least expensive thing, the easiest thing to do. Here's a taxi cab, and we're sending you to Skid Row, and the woman is demented on top of it. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, is this what we become? Well, listen, we're sanctioning torture, Robert Grave. Who's outraged about that? It's sort of like business as usual. You know, you lie when you write a memoir. You can't trust the information you're getting from the doc all the time. You hope you can, but not always. And you go to the hospital, you get some care. And if you don't have a place to live, if you're homeless, if you're demented, they give you a one-way taxi ride. You know what they were doing? They had video set up so they could see how this was going down. And that's one of the things they found out in Los Angeles. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. Our traffic, I really have nothing too much to say. It's just fabulous, even South M99. Sprinkles going on tonight, though. Highs tomorrow, 69. Enid Live will continue on this fabulous Friday at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall. All where they be.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Future Automotive Group is overstocked with pre-owned vehicles. Take advantage of their year-end clearance and shop from the comfort of home at FutureAutomotiveGroup.com.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Sacramento's Media Edge presents a screening of the award-winning film Shadow Company on Tuesday, November 21st at the Crest Theater at 7:30 p.m. In the late 20th century, the distinction between soldier and mercenary became blurred. The recent use of private military companies in Iraq has been more extensive than at any time in modern history. Shadow Company is a groundbreaking full-length documentary that explores the moral and ethical issues private military solutions create and addresses the risks of allowing profit-motivated corporations into the business of war. See Shadow Company Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Admission is $10. The screening benefits local alternative media, including Media Edge. More information is at We The Media TV or on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
Maybe we'll be on it next time, but...
I don't want this maybe crap show to be perfectly honest with you. I want the fix to be in, like Florida.
There you go.
You're the guy counting the ballots. You're our Catherine Harris there at Sacramento Magazine.
I guess I am.
What is this event going to generate for the March of Dimes?
By the end of the evening, we're going to be able to hand a check over to the local March of Dimes for $320,000.
Joe Chiodo.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a number of things. We're talking about Jack Abramoff. We're talking about corruption in all of its forms. And one form that the corruption is taking, whether, and I really think it is a form of corruption. If you go to a house of worship and you're, however well meant it is, if your clergy person is pinching a sermon off the net and not disclosing that, that's not telling the truth. That is not honesty. And wherever you look, you're seeing, so we pay a lot of lip service to honesty, but wherever you're looking, you're seeing a dearth of honesty in American life. And I guess we're just becoming, you know, here's what people say. When it happens in private life, people say, you know, it's just business. That's what they say. They exempt themselves. Oh, it's just business. It's not, don't forget it. It's just business. Here's a phenomenon I absolutely do not understand. I do not understand why people are standing in line, waiting overnight for days at a time to get these new PlayStation 3 video game consoles. Now, maybe some people are buying them and reselling them at higher prices, so I suppose maybe they're in business. I don't know what the max is you're allowed to buy, but people are with guns drawn coming in and muscling their way to the front of the line and stealing them and ripping off the people who are waiting in line. You have all kinds of stories, but here is a waiting game. The hype has customers in line for days. Can somebody please explain this to me, or do you have to be 18 years old to understand it? What is this all about? Here's somebody who, somebody here who was, these are people in line in New York and in San Francisco. I think even here, people are in line. Two gunmen stormed an Elk Grove store yesterday morning, made off with four coveted PlayStation 3 video game consoles a day before they were scheduled to go on sale. PlayStation 3 is the latest Ballyhoo techno offering to create campsites at electronic stores. Buyers have been lining up since the beginning of the week to be one of the first owners. They're going to retail for about $499 to $599, so $500 to $600. But already they are selling in advance on eBay for $3,000. After the Elk Grove heist, police warned retailers in the area, some of whom hired more security. They also advised the encampments of hopeful purchasers to watch their backs. So can somebody explain to me the magic of this thing that you're going to shell out $500 to $600 for, unless you think you're going to resell it on eBay for $3,000, and then I guess I understand some of the magic. But, you know, it's very soon they'll be making more of them. I don't know how many people are going to spend $3,000 to buy one of these things. And I don't understand the magic of these video games and of PlayStations. So if somebody wants to take on the probably thankless task of educating your goddess here on the virtues of PlayStations, I would love to hear from you. And we're also talking about something that I think doesn't get enough attention. Despite growing evidence that female business leaders can add to the corporate bottom line, a woman's voice is still hard to find in boardrooms of California's largest companies. Roughly half the state's top 400 public companies have no female directors, and women hold just 8.8% of the 3,245 board seats overall. And this is according to a study that was just released by the Graduate School of Management at UC Davis. At the same time, women account for 11.7% of the top executive posts. So state's big companies are short on female executives. Remember now, what we've learned is that more women than men are going to college, more women than men graduate from college. The women get higher grades than the men do. And they're lucky if they make 73 cents on the dollar. And in California, where we like to think of ourselves as more enlightened, guess what? There are not so many female executives. You have any thoughts about why that would be? Is it the glass ceiling? Is it fear? 349-1320-866-620-1320. Guys are afraid we're going to turn into a matriarchy. What is it? Is it that I thought this is old news, but it's not old news. Kim and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Enid. People are addicted to these games.
Explain this to me, Kim.
I can't. I can't explain it. I don't enjoy them myself, but from the people that I've encountered that are, that are into playing games.
All right, what do the games consist of?
They have the newest one right away. They just can't wait.
What does the game consist of?
It's like a video game when you go into an arcade, although they're much more detailed.
Yeah, but what are you doing in the game? Are you shooting somebody down? Is it a target practice, or are you...
Some of them are like car, racing. One of them is called... it's the term for when you steal a car. What is the legal,
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto.
But what's so special about this new one?
Casey, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
14-year ban has come to an end.
The medical community is now saying that these breast implants are safe and effective.
Another record on the big board.
I don't see anything that's really going to trip this rally up, at least between now and the end of the year.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Lou Maligano. They were all the rage back in the 60s, and for 30 years, women flocked to them, but with increasing concern over their safety. By the early 90s, the FDA pulled silicone gel breast implants from the market. Now, that was 14 years ago.
14 years ago, silicone breast implants were taken off the market because of concerns that they might increase the risk of illnesses like lupus and cancer. Now the FDA has essentially reapproved them. They will be sold again. And the concerns that they might be linked to illness clearly have been put to the side.
CBS News medical analyst Dr. Emily Sine.
There are some researchers, scientists, and advocacy groups who still feel that silicone gel breast implants need to be studied for much longer, 10 years or longer, before all concerns about their safety are finally put to rest.
But one manufacturer, Inamed, says it's been given the go-ahead by the FDA, and another, Mentor, is now seeking approval. A robust week for investors, quieted by the close of business today, with the Commerce Department reporting housing construction fell to its lowest level in more than 6 years. But at the National Association of Home Builders, senior economist Bernie Markstein is okay with that.
We built too many houses, got a little carried away, partly because demand was extremely strong. Now we believe demand has stabilized, and supply is now adjusting to that. So we're going through a phase.
Phase or no phase, CBS News market analyst Alexis Christophorus says records are still being set.
It was incredible to see how investors shrugged off news that the housing market basically fell into the basement in October, and instead they're focusing on the positives, strong earnings news, and the fact that crude oil is now at its lowest level in about a year.
Oil has fallen sharply in recent days. It settled at its lowest level in a year this week. Analyst Peter Butel.
I think we've broken the back of this market, and I think we can look forward to gradually lowering prices over a period of years now.
At AAA, the forecast is going out when oil drops to $50 a barrel. It's at $56 now. Gasoline will break through the $2 floor. Now this.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
It's not too early to be thinking about the holidays, but is it too early to start enjoying all that holiday deliciousness? Absolutely not. Visit Sam's Club this weekend for the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club and start revving up those taste buds. We'll be preparing samples of everything from savory meats to delectable desserts, so you can taste how appetizing and easy a holiday meal can be with Sam's Club. Join us at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club this Friday through Sunday, November 17th through the 19th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See samsclub.com for details.
An irreplaceable loss, Bo Schembechler's death. That from the University of Michigan president. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman, as college football has lost the winningest coach in Michigan history.
Bo Schembechler was the coach Ohio State fans loved to hate. But on the day of his death, ironically the day before the biggest Ohio State-Michigan game ever, the Buckeye fans talked about the respect they always had for Schembechler.
He was the enemy. A legend has passed.
Michigan fans here for the game also talked about their legendary coach.
He'll be remembered as Michigan football.
Everything, meanwhile, is set for tomorrow's showdown game, and before kickoff, there will be a moment of silence in memory of Bo Schembechler. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Columbus.
Scattered violence has marred the U.S. debut of Sony's PlayStation 3. That was a crowd rushing at a Florida store. Across the country, several people have been robbed or trampled on. One was shot trying to get their hands on the new game.
There's definitely a underlying mob mentality going on. Just a huge crowd of people just slammed everybody into the wall.
People in the bushes, people hiding under the dock. Man, this is chaos, man.
In Connecticut, a guy was shot waiting in line to buy one. 30 miles away, another was beaten and robbed of his right after he bought it. In Ohio, a store was broken into and robbed of its PlayStations before they could even begin selling them. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
After 4 o'clock, welcome to Hour 2 of the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Your homework assignment, and even as we're running up to the holidays, your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that 1320 is here, Enid Live is here, all of our programming is here. And that way, I think, it begins to spread the word, because it surprises those of us who know we're here that a lot of people don't know we're here. We're talking about our usual flea market of ideas, and I want to get to some other ideas as well. But one of the things I am absolutely not getting, it has passed me by completely, is the whole PlayStation phenomenon and people standing in line for days, and in some places, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, camping out in order to get the first PlayStations because there are a limited number of them. I suppose some of them want to resell it on eBay. It'll cost between, $500 and $600 to buy one, and some are appearing on eBay at $3,000, so maybe profit is the motive. But for a lot of people, they just want to be first with a PlayStation, with the newest model of the PlayStation. So you've got to educate me on this stuff, because your goddess here is kind of knows next to nothing about what the allure of these PlayStations are. And I have to tell you, I am narrowing my eyeballs. I am looking at these with an eagle beagle eye, because I don't think they're so hot for people, but maybe I'm wrong. Justin in Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Enid, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, I am what you would call a gamer. I think the main reason that people play video games overall is because it's kind of an escape, but it's a little bit different than other forms of media because it's fully interactive. You can experience situations and, the world that, you otherwise wouldn't be able to experience. And so, a lot of ways it's gives you, an experience you can't really recreate anywhere else.
Well, give me an example of why you're playing these games. And what are you playing, Grand Theft Auto or what?
I played Grand Theft Auto. I'm a big fan of the game. I really enjoy playing that game.
Because why? What does it do for you?
I don't know. Because you have a whole interactive world where you could do every little thing that you always thought about maybe doing, but you never would really do in real
life. And how do you think this translates? What do you think you get out of this game in real life? Does it sharpen some particular skill? Particular skill that you have?
In actuality, not just from that game in particular, but from playing computer games and video games throughout my childhood, I was able to develop a great skill, and where I was able to, work on computers, and now I that's my job. Is I repair and build computers. I'm driving around my next planet right now, but I wouldn't have learned anything about computers if I wasn't piqued by the interest of playing video games. And so as I wanted to figure out how to make my games run better, or how to do this or that, or how to tweak, make this character stronger, do something like that, I began learning how to modify the games themselves. And then I began learning more about computer hardware and the technology itself.
All right, so it taught you more about that. Do you play this with somebody, or are you sitting there by yourself doing it?
Well, it depends on the game. Grand Theft Auto is a single-player game only, but there's a lot of games that are massively multiplayer, where there's thousands of people playing on one level at a time with each other, and they're interacting.
So people that you don't know, people that you don't know, people who are just online.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And there's actually a game called Star Wars Galaxies, where it recreates the entire Star Wars universe inside the computer, and there's thousands of people playing with each other, and then some people even get jobs as shopkeepers and sell goods and services to other people online within the game, and it's actually a complete virtual world. And that's a little more extreme. You know, I don't really tend to enjoy taking games like that because they take up too much time.
All right, wait. Now, can I make the argument, can I advance the thesis here that the more time you're spending online, the less time you're spending developing social skills and meeting people and having friendships and stuff? Well, this is a fairly superficial.
A lot of these people do develop real lasting friendships in the real world through the game. I know a lot of people personally that have, met their life partners online, where they'll go and meet another girl who plays online and
All right, can I ask you how old you are, Justin?
I'm 24.
24, and why is everybody so hot for this new PlayStation? Is it more advanced in some way?
Well, it's because it's been so long since the last PlayStation was released.
Well, besides that, what else does it give you besides it's been a while?
Well, it's a significant increase in technology-wise over the last PlayStation. It's approximately about, 8 or 10 times more powerful than the previous PlayStation.
Are you going to stand in line to get one of these?
Oh, heck no. I wouldn't. These people who are standing in line are either trying to make money by selling it on eBay, or there are morons who are trying to get it first. The thing is, when you get it first, you're getting the most buggy version of the system. They haven't worked out the bugs yet.
Uh-huh.
A lot of hardware problems they're already finding with it already.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't live up to its claim of being able to play the older PlayStation games. It's, one of my buddies was looking at the display unit at a Walmart, and he said the thing crashed after 15 minutes of play and would lock up, and you had to continuously reboot it. So obviously there's a lot of problems. I know that the first unit that went up on eBay sold for about $4,500, and that seems to be the motivation for probably 90% of these people.
All right, Justin, I think you have educated me, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320, Robert in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Enid?
Good.
I can give you another point of view on this also. I have a son that's mildly delayed and has cerebral palsy. And one of the top doctors at Stanford says, as much as he hates to admit it, the PlayStation is actually good for him for his eye to hand contact coordination. And it has helped him out with that. I can't even turn the thing on. He can hook it up to the TV and do whatever you got to do and put the games in. It's helped his coordination with his hands very much.
Okay. Is it helping with socializing him and giving him other skills too besides the hand-eye coordination?
I think a little bit, but I wouldn't say no. That's the main thing. I think it's more than the coordination than anything else. However, if he does go to somebody's house or something like that, he's able to go ahead and join in with the games and what have you.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You bet. Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, release of PlayStation 3. You know, would that somebody would line up for political information or to get involved politically, but no, everybody is waiting to get their hands on PlayStation 3. And we're also talking about a new study released that tells us that the state's biggest companies are short on female executives. I don't know why. Now, some people are saying it's the old boys network, it's negative stereotypes. In a universe where more women go to college than men, more women graduate from college than men, more women get better grades than men, how is it that there's no place for women and they're still earning something like 73 cents on the dollar? How is it that there's no room for them in some of the state's biggest companies? Nikki in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, thank you for calling us.
I wanted to make a comment on women's executive. I believe the issue is about ego. I think women are very capable. They are consensus builders. They have a spirit of cooperation. They are organized. They are thinkers. But I don't think women necessarily, they want to have that leadership position.
Wait, you're saying that you don't think women want the leadership position, or is it more that men don't want them to have a leadership position?
No, I think women enjoy being mothers and wives and do not necessarily care to be on top. And I think it's more about maybe women need to understand that they can do it all. They can be organized and maybe do everything that they can.
Wait a minute, are you talking about all women who don't want to be leaders or some women who don't want to be leaders? Some women are happy not to be leaders. Some people are happy not to be leaders. They would prefer to have somebody else take that role on. But are you telling me, Nikki, that you think all women fall into this category?
I believe there are very few women who will put leadership as one of the top priority in life.
And can I ask you what country you are from?
I am actually from Iran.
Okay.
And after 100 years, we finally have the first president of Sacramento Dental Society, who is a woman.
Uh-huh.
We have finally, in the whole national level, we have a president, a second president to be a woman in the Dental Association. So I feel that women who really want it and they can have, they have that leadership potential. They are the ones who go after it.
That's well, yeah, that is exactly right. They are. And I have a good friend who is Persian, and she is an MD. Actually, she's a psychiatrist. And I would call her somebody who is, and I think she's on various committees that she heads up and so on. So, but not everybody wants that kind of thing. But the ones who do and are qualified for it, how is it that so few are women? Is it, you're saying that they don't, that women don't want to do it. And what I am saying is I think that the ones who want to do it are prevented from doing it.
Well, I believe that there is opportunity. There is opportunity, and I think in the corporate world, I think men have come a long way to embrace women leadership, and I think...
Yeah, but they're not doing it, in California. It's very, very short on female executives. People who are, you know, if a woman can run a family, if she can run the household, I think, Nikki, that she could run the universe. I think it's awfully hard to run a family, a household. And a lot of women, you know, a lot of us grew up in families where the women were the generals, and they got it going, and they got it done. So I don't know if I would agree with you, but I am delighted that you called us, and I hope you will call us again. I thank you for doing it. 349-1320. Nikki thinks that most women don't want to be leaders. Is that your experience with women? 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Sherry and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I think there's an issue here of the larger social construct regarding males and females that have come into the corporate world issue. And my, you know, basically is this idea of women doing double duty, running a corporation, working that, but then going home to a full another job. And I really think there's this issue of degenderifying the private sphere. The jobs that are done at the home are going to help women gain access into corporate America.
I'm not following you. In other words, are you saying because they're divided, they have home lives and they have business lives, that one takes away from the other?
Basically, the research basically plays out in the home still today. 80% of the work done in the home is still being done by women. Everything from thank you cards, changing sheets, buying groceries, the basics of a household duty are run by females.
You know, I have to tell you about somebody I know. I know a couple right. where she's the breadwinner.
Right.
And he's home all day long. And when she comes home, she's still doing the laundry. And when she comes home, she's still putting the meal on the table. And I don't know what he's doing all day long. Maybe he's getting a tan in a, you know, sharpening his golf game. I really don't know. But I would, if it were me, I might lay down the law. But I guess it works out for them.
Well, I think the issue is, and being a kind of a corporate woman and a professional woman, I understand, and fortunately I have a spouse that is very equitable in our home duties, but what I'm finding with my colleagues is they're exhausted. They're not going on the corporate trips. They're not being...
Well, what about the men? Don't the men have a home life too, but they're lucky to have wives who run the show? Is that the story?
Well, my feeling is we need to degenderify the private sphere, meaning we need to degenderify the jobs in the home. One of my things I often say is there's not a honing device in a woman's uterus that makes her better at vacuuming, you know.
But she can do the rumba with a Roomba better.
Right. So we need to do something to this idea of what is, when men still refer to watching their children as babysitting. You know, that basically gives the impression that someone's going to let you off duty when the other spouse comes home. When we're still, this is still common conversation.
All right, well, wait a minute. It still doesn't answer the question.
Okay.
Why? Here are some of the findings. Only 11 of the 400 companies have female chief executive officers. The retail industry has the highest percentage of directors, 12.8, while the telecom industry has the lowest, 3.2% of women. Retail also ranks number one for female executive officers at 22.3%, and the electronic industry sitting at the bottom with 4.3%. So Carly Fiorina being in charge of Hewlett-Packard is a big deal, or was. All Fortune 100 companies have at least one female director. Nationally, 85% of the Fortune 1000 companies had at least one female board member. Santa Clara County, the heart of the Silicon Valley, boasts the largest number of companies at 103, but has one of the lowest percentages of female directors, 6.5%. I mean, there are some women who decide that they really don't want to have a home life such as you're describing, and right. So are not so divided, and they really want to go for it. They're not engaged by home life. They would really rather pursue their business interests, and I think they get shut out. Why? Because I think they're threatening to men, and I don't know why that is.
Well, threatening, and then there's the issue of the non-spoken networks, which, you know, happen in the sports arena, the golf, you know, all these unspoken arenas.
Happen around the urinal, possibly?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the urinal, but I know this idea of, you know, examples I know of women that have colleagues that their husbands actually will get invited on more business activities than they will because of that sports element. Or this other idea that a woman can't go on certain, and as they become more global.
Sherry, we're going to have to, you're breaking up, so I'm so sorry, but I thank you so much for calling us. I'm only hearing like one every four words, but I thank you for calling and weighing in. You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. PlayStations, women putting the blame. What they're saying here is on the old boys network and negative stereotypes about women and a glass ceiling, which is still a glass ceiling. It hasn't changed too much. 349-1320. You know what? Can I bring up my own profession? Radio? There are not very many. I mean, I think you have probably most of them right here in Sacramento, but they're really nationwide. There are very, 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 very few women radio talk hosts who do general talk. You have the radio psychologists like Dr. Laura. You have some of the specialty niches, but doing general talk, very few women. And in long after television opened its doors to women in its news departments as anchors, there was a time when women were not thought to be authoritative on the air, whether television or radio. That nobody would believe the news if it were delivered by a female. That women were the hardest on other women. 349-1320. Eileen and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eileen.
Hello. I just wanted to say that, you know, I've been in the position where I've turned down a higher level position just because it just doesn't seem worth it. I mean, you're giving up a lot of your ability to be a parent for more money. And, you know, maybe men have done this because they don't enjoy being parents as much, but I'm pretty content with having a middle-level career without a ton of managerial expectations on me for a little bit less money and the ability to go home at 5 o'clock and pick up my kids.
All right, and that's a good thing. That's what you've decided you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
But there are probably women who have decided that they really want to go for it and they're shut out.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree that that's probably true. But I think for a lot of women, maybe we're just not giving ourselves enough credit for being smarter than the average guy.
Yeah. You mean that it's not worth it? The prize isn't worth it at the end?
I would question whether it really is worth it. Because, you know, for more money, for more stress, fewer hours doing things that you like doing. So I think we need to look at it from that side, too. It might just not be worth the whole thing.
Eileen, I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday, right before Thanksgiving, edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Oh, you mentioned Thanksgiving. It makes me hungry. Also, I think maybe broke, too, because it's my daughter's birthday. Got to remember the 23rd. Traffic looking pretty good, though. South on 99. What? No accidents on this fabulous Friday. I-5 and a J Street usually. Straight on through Roseville. Fabulous. 55, 60 miles per hour. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Hello, hi, how are you?
The Randy Rhoads Show.
If any
anybody owes an apology, it is this president. He owes an apology to these troops who he deployed in paltry numbers, with no plan for victory, without the equipment they needed, without any strategy, without any ability to even say there's going to be a counterinsurgency.
The Randy Rhodes Show, weekdays noon to 3 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, AT&T Customer Care Center.
When it comes to cable, it pays to ask questions.
Actually, over 9 years, cable TV prices went up an average of 86% nationwide. Yes, sir, 86%. I know, that's not a good thing.
In fact, when it comes to getting all your services, including wireless, on one bill, cable just doesn't cut it.
Well, unfortunately, if you want to group your home phone, your wireless, high-speed internet, and your digital TV together on one bill, that is something that cable just doesn't offer. But AT&T lets you group all four services together, so you can then pay just one easy bill, and you end up saving time and money.
That's why AT&T is a name you can trust. With great prices and reliable phone service, you can depend on the new AT&T.
In fact, every 11 seconds, a customer comes back to the new AT&T after trying someone else. There's never been a better time to come back.
Call 1-800-PICK-ATT or visit att.com. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Plan based on customers returning to AT&T phone service from other service providers.
How would you like to cut your mortgage payment by over 50%? Then pay close attention, because the new Secure Advantage loan, only from Quicken Loans, could cut your payment in half. With the new Secure Advantage loan, you get the advantage of choosing an incredibly low payment month after month, plus the security of knowing your low rate is fixed for years. But these low rates may not last, so call 800-355-5029 to get your fixed rate fast. Join other California homeowners who are putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets. Call 800-355-5029 to see how Secure Advantage could cut your mortgage payment by more than half. That's a 50% lower payment and a fixed rate. Call Quicken Loans at 800-355-5029 and ask about the Secure Advantage loan. Call now, 800-355-5029. Equal housing lender, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Call Quicken Loans now, 800-355-5029.
You've got questions? We've got Enid. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Yesterday we were talking about gay animals are coming out of the closet. Some of them are. There are about 1,500 species or so that are apparently gay, and whales, some whales are gay, and some bonobos are gay. I bring that up because there is a controversy in about a book. It is a picture book. It is about two male penguins that are raising a baby penguin, and a lot of parents are unhappy about this little book. It is book is called And Tango Makes Three. It is an illustrated children's book based on a true story. This is a true story of two male penguins in New York City's Central Park Zoo that adopted a fertilized egg and raised the chick as their own. Complaining about the book's homosexual undertones, some parents of this particular elementary school believe the book, which is available to be checked out at the school's library, tackles topics that their children are not ready to handle. But the people who are running the library believe that the book is adorable and age-appropriate and written for children ages 4 to 8. One mother thought the book looked charming, and when her five-year-old daughter brought it home in September, the mother said she was halfway through reading it to her daughter. When the zookeeper said the two penguins must be in love, she says, "That's when I ended the story." So it's a true story, and it happened in New York City's Central Park Zoo. And it was, you watched March of the Penguins, didn't you? That was a wonderful, and remember the male penguin fertilizes the egg? and has to, and the handover is really very delicate because if it's on the ice for too long, it'll freeze up, and that's it for the that's it. You're frozen, and that's, and it's not going to happen. So here it is. It's called Entangle Makes Three. It's an illustrated children's book based on the true story of two male penguins in New York City's Central Park Zoo that adopted a fertilized egg and raised the chick as its own. It's an age-appropriate book, apparently, for kids 4 to 8. It is a true story. Is this inappropriate for a child 4 to 8 years old? Is this too much for a kid to digest? Does a kid not even think about it? You know, oh, it's two penguins and they're raising an egg together. Or does it raise troubling questions that parents don't want to particularly get into with their kids? What are your thoughts? If you're a teacher, is this an appropriate book? Is it not? I think it's lovely, but a lot of people are parents are having some problems with it. And I also want to talk, if we're talking, we've been talking about animals a lot lately, and I want to talk about pigeons, otherwise known as flying rats. Pigeons have been amazing, and I hadn't really considered pigeons very much, but pigeons are... aside from the fact that the pigeon drops about 25 pounds of droppings a year, but here, let me give you how brave and honorable pigeons were. You know, we live in a time now when you can just email somebody something. Everybody is a second away from each other. But the results of the first Olympics in 776 BC were delivered by a pigeon. In wartime, it was the pigeon with its uncannily accurate homing instincts that could be relied on to brave enemy fire and deliver secret dispatches. The greatest pigeon of them all was named Cher Ami, and that pigeon suffered multiple gunshot wounds, but pressed on and delivered the message that saved the surviving members of the Lost Battalion during World War I, a feat that won that pigeon, Francis, I think it's its highest honor, or certainly a very high honor, the Croix de Guerre. On a more domestic note, a pigeon's mate for life, and the sexual act itself is relatively gentle and completely consensual. So I don't know how the pigeons... I don't know how you can tell that the pigeons are having consensual sex, but in any event, the sexual act itself between pigeons is relatively gentle and completely consensual. What's not to like about pigeons? Well, the fact that maybe that the average pigeon produces more than 25 pounds of droppings a year, and the fact that if you inhale too much of those droppings, you can get some... It's not called pigeonosis, but there's something that's not too good that you could be inhaling, and it's not too good for your respiratory system. But there is a vanishing subculture, and there are people who race these pigeons, and there's lots of prize money. But remember this. In the days, this is so hard for us to imagine, in the days before email, in the days before the easy availability of long distance, it was pigeons who delivered the news, and the greatest pigeon of them all, Cher Ami, suffered multiple gunshot wounds, but pressed on and delivered the message that saved the surviving members of the Lost Battalion during World War I. Isn't that amazing? And they have these amazing homing instincts, and nobody knows even now why that is the case. 3491320. But I don't think pigeons are gay. They mate for life, and it's consensual. But I nobody asked him. I mean, I don't know how we know that, but apparently that's the case. Oscar in Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Oscar.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Well, here's a couple of things I wanted to mention. One is the issue of why women aren't or don't move up, et cetera, et cetera. I think one of them is looking at the ages, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus, is that the older you are, the tendency is there are less and less women who have gone into those fields that have in those specialities or whatever or to move up.
Well, give me an example. I mean, I'm not quite following your argument.
Okay, computers. Okay, computers, for example. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there weren't as many women in that field as there are today. But by the time the younger women are in there, the other ones, men and women alike, have already moved up. So I'm saying potentially it's going to increase down the road, one. Two is...
Well, wait a minute. As people are moving up, computers have been up and running for a while, and there should be more women in the industry than there apparently are.
That may be the case in the past. You're talking about different levels of computers. people have been there in administration.
All right, but overall, go ahead. Use another example. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is women in general is that they've had their networks before they went into the traditional workforce, and men had, quote, their networks. And I'm saying that many times men don't have that separate network. They only have the one network that they focus primarily on. And women have the two networks, the work and the social network, which are kind of separated.
So what? Wouldn't you say that the whole then is greater than the sum of the parts? In other words, if you have more networks, you are meeting more people, and presumably if you're networking more, you have more opportunities that will arise from it.
Well, if you're spending half your time networking in the home social thing versus the work-related thing, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying that these are some of the things that occur.
I'm shooting holes into your theories, Oscar. I don't think these are the reasons why it's not happening. You're saying you're not ever talking. You're never talking about the. Are you in a position to hire anybody?
I have been, but.
And do you hire men? Do you hire women?
No, actually, all the people I've ever hired were women.
Okay.
But what I was getting at, a lot of it too, is what are the pools that are available? What are the social networks? Men tend to have one social network, period.
Yeah, so you could make the argument that because they only have one social network, they're limited and they don't get around to as many people, whereas women have more social networking going on, they could get around to more people and therefore they would have more possibilities.
Right, but the point you're missing is if that second network has nothing to do with the moving up network, it takes time away from the moving up network.
No, you are missing the point. You're saying it's an either-or situation. If you're engaged in a social endeavor, you don't get it, Oscar. If you're engaged in a social endeavor, it's taking away time from your business endeavor. But you know what? I think that these two kind of overlap, and there are a lot of people you know who might know somebody else in a field that's related to yours or who can be helpful, and when you need something, that goes on. So you're saying it diminishes your possibilities, and I'm saying if what you're saying is true, and women are involved in more networks, it should actually elevate, enhance their possibilities, and yet they are on fewer boards, they are fewer CEOs, they are in fewer leadership positions. So I'm saying I don't think that your argument holds up, but you know what? We're delighted that you made it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What do you think about what Oscar said? The more social networks you're involved in, the more it somehow diminishes your ability to be present in a vibrant work environment. I think he's got it completely backwards. If you're only in one network of the same old guys who were sitting, they did that survey a few years back. You remember that survey? They asked men, do you think you're attractive? And most men think they're really good looking. And they asked women, do you think you're attractive? And most women do not think they're good looking. So here are these guys sitting around in their wife beater undershirts with their one little social network composed of, I don't know, a PlayStation and two friends. And these guys, and they don't go to college in the same numbers, and they don't get the same good grades, and they don't graduate as much as women graduate, and they're the ones running everything into the ground. Let me just point to this administration, and I rest my case. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. Well, we do have a little traffic going on. Northbound Cap City Freeway just by Arden Way. There's a three-car crash over there. Also, Cap City Freeway just past Marconi. We have a three-car crash. And I-5 and a J Street, it looks like we do as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Al Franken Show.
When I served in Basra, we had no interpreter. And I said, well, how do you feel about those six gay interpreters who were fired? And he said, oh, that's all you guys care about. Well, who are us guys? He says, you liberals. And what is all we care about? He says, gays. I remember saying, we'll be right back to the Al Franken Show here on Air America Radio with our gay agenda. And he laughed.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays 9 to noon on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel.
Jamba Juice. No, Arden Fair Mall. Wait, Borders Books. Although, Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op.
Ma'am, do you want to think about it and call us back?
Nope, I'm going with Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Or Borders. But Arden Fair Mall.
Making the choice isn't always easy. When it comes to the environment, choosing to make it better is easy. Choose a cleaner, healthier environment by joining Smud's Greenergy. For as little as $3 a month, Smud will match your electricity use with energy created from clean, renewable resources like the wind and sun. It doesn't get much easier than that. Plus, get your choice of a free $10 gift certificate from Borders Books, Jamba Juice, Arden Fair Mall, or Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op when you enroll for 6 months or more.
I'll take Arden Fair. Or Borders. But the food co-op...
Start with the easy choice and join Smud's Greenergy today. Enroll online at smud.org or call 1-888-742-SMUD. Smud. The power to do more.
Hello. Did you know that bottle or newspaper you toss in the recycle bin could be your kitchen countertop tomorrow? You don't have to wait until tomorrow to find eco-friendly choices for countertops, flooring, and paint. You can find them today at Green Sacramento, Fulton, and Alta Arden. Looking for something unique instead of the ever-present granite slab? Imagine glass pebbles embedded in composite materials creating a collage of color and texture. Unique and exquisite, and only at Green Sacramento, Fulton, and Alta Arden. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the warmth of hardwood floors without the negative impact on our forests? You can today only at Green Sacramento, Fulton, at Alta Arden. Install eco-friendly hardwood floors today just in time for the holidays. And would you like to paint a room without the toxic smell or take home a large wall paint swatch to make color choice easy? You can today at Green Sacramento, Fulton, at Alta Arden. Come explore the many options and vast selection of unique materials to remodel or upgrade your home. Unique, practical, creative, and eco-friendly. Green Sacramento, Fulton, at Alta Arden, or on the web at greensacramento.com.
It's Future Ford's year-end clearance.
With incredible savings on over 500 used vehicles in stock. Pre-owned 06 4x4 XLT Explorers. Two to choose from. Priced at $19,988. That's over $8,000 below Kelley Blue Book. There's never been a better time to shop Future Ford for incredible savings on over 500 pre-owned vehicles in stock. These 06 XLT Explorers won't last at $19,988. Future Ford in the Roseville Auto Mall and Future Ford I-80 in Madison.
ID numbers FR64755, FR64756, previous daily rents.
Talk to Enid now,
3-4-9-13-20. 4:41 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I hope you're telling 3 to 5 people. Oh, I have to talk to you about Christmas parties, too, but we'll get there. We have lots of things to talk about. We're talking about women, and this is now the second year the study has taken place, and here's what they've done. They've also expanded the pool of companies that they've looked at from 200 to 400, and they still find that there's been almost no progress in the last year. Isn't this depressing that women, the biggest companies in the state, are short on female execs? They're short on female presence in the boardroom. They're short on female leadership in the company. Why would that be? Charles in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Charles.
Oh, hi. Hi, Enid. Yeah, I agree with you about this terrible problem because usually if men are on more than one board, that's considered a good thing. And if they're in high regard, they're asked to be on as many boards as possible. So it's not the busyness of their lives that would keep them off boards. And if women have lots of social networks, that should be a feature that makes them appealing to be on various boards.
Well, also, you know, what do they say in business? Is not what you know, it's who you know. And
right.
The more social networks you have, I think that increases your chances of, you know, remember that 6 degrees of separation? Everybody knows everybody. They're only a couple of degrees away from.
And part of it is rainmaking, too. The networking is a way to raise capital for businesses. So I think Oscar's argument, it doesn't really hold water.
Okay. I thank you very much, Charles, for the call. 349-1320. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi there. Basically, I just wanted to say that the glass ceiling for women in some of the big corporations is the same as the glass ceiling applied to minorities. I used to work in oil company in the Bay Area when I was graduating from college. And, you know, I noticed that many of the white male, particularly, got promoted faster than I do. And sometimes I might not able to blame them for it. For one thing is that when I asked my manager about it, they're all citing about communication. And the other thing I noticed is also because maybe culture, because I know I might not be interested in talking about football and baseball all the time with my manager. And I have to say is that would apply to culture of women, because unless you have a female executive that willing to promote another female staff, otherwise, other than that, a male executive probably like to go golfing. And, so some of the other staff that male probably most likely like to go with the bosses to go golfing and talk about football.
Here's what I have noticed, that people hire, they don't always hire the best candidate for the job.
Oh, no.
But they do often hire the people that make them feel comfortable.
Exactly.
And some people, I have known people in jobs who are barely capable of doing the job, but they are able to manage up. Well, they're able to manage their managers very well. And so they hang in for a long period of time. If you look at what they've accomplished, not much, but they are still there. So there is that aspect to it.
Yeah, I'm facing the same problem. I got out of my other department for the same reason, because my supervisor just wouldn't promote me in place, knowing that I was ranked one on the list. And the reason is because I'm always a strict talker, because if they're doing a staff meeting or anything like that, when I see a problem, I talk about it. But others, I know that recently one of my coworkers that got promoted in place because I realized that during the meeting, he always agreed what the manager was saying. So basically, is it that management, like you said, they like people agreeing with them.
Right.
They don't want people to give them a hard time.
Okay, then I'm going to give you a silver.
Yeah, I was saying, for women, I think it's a lot of the women are a straight talker, and then I don't think manager like that.
Well, or sometimes men are threatened by somebody who is not on the same page as they are exactly. But all right, I'm going to give you a silver lining, John.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna all of these problems that you're having with managers and not getting promoted. All of them will lead you to the right place, where ultimately you will be in a job where you will be really appreciated and promoted. But you can't. I always like to quote Edison, Thomas Edison, when he was inventing things, and if the experiment didn't go well and he failed, he just crossed it off his list. Well, there's one more dead end that I don't have to go down anymore, and he'd go on to the next thing until he finally invented what he needed to invent. So I think there's a lot of truth to that in our lives, and all those dead end roads or those roads that aren't so wonderful, they will finally lead you to the one that is. So that's my perky thought for Friday, and I hope it has some resemblance to reality.
Right. Can I ask something real quick? Basically, is it that, let me tell you, it is benefit for anybody out there to have a heartburn not getting promoted by a supervisor, just move on, because what it is your health worth more. And I tell you one thing, and I have a new job now, and my blood pressure went down.
Did it?
And I tell you one thing, that's worth more than the promotion.
I couldn't agree with you more, John. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, Casey and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Casey.
Hey there. I want to make a comment. I just want to play the double-edged sword for a second, and could it be a possibility that there are less women that are pursuing those roles than there are men? And the only reason I say
well, maybe I don't know. That's I hadn't thought about that. Are there fewer women pursuing those roles than men?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
It's not, we know that women graduate from, go to college more than men do in greater numbers. They graduate more. They get higher grades. They're still only getting 73 cents on the dollar, so I don't know what that's all about.
So,
but women are saying when asked that it has to do with the old boy network, and that it has to do with negative stereotypes, and it has to do with a glass ceiling.
Yeah, I imagine that there are organizations where that takes place, but I wouldn't go on to say that all organizations are that way.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for the call, Casey. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Very fast-moving traffic today, southbound 99. Northbound Cap City Freeway. Looks like we have a crash right past Arden Way. 50 and Watt Avenue, westbound 50. There's a two-car crash stopping things down off of getting off of Watt. And that's about it for the traffic. It's looking really good. I'm impressed on this fabulous Friday. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Radio for the left of us. Makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Check out great financing rates available now on a great selection of Toyota certified used vehicles. See your local Toyota dealer or go to toyota.com/certified.
Toyota certified used vehicles.
News 10 now, I'm Christina Mendonca. 3,400 leads haven't brought investigators any closer to the killer of Sacramento Sheriff's Deputy Jeff Mitchell. Today we'll hear from the two people closest to Mitchell who are still wanting and waiting and hoping someone leads them to the killer. Police are also looking for a group of kids who ran off with a Salvation Army kettle today near the Albertsons on Folsom Boulevard. The man collecting for the Salvation Army is reportedly a disabled Iraq War veteran. We'll have more today at 5 on News 10.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I have to tell you, adding to the conversation, women not being able to break through the glass ceiling in the state's biggest companies, short on female executives, short on female board members, I wanted to talk about the fact that both in the Los Angeles Times, today in the Los Angeles Times, and I think it was yesterday or the day before, in the Sacramento Bee, two editorials on the editorial pages editorializing for Jane Harman to head the Intelligence Committee. Apparently she and Nancy Pelosi have a pretty frosty relationship, and Nancy Pelosi is thinking of bypassing her with Alcee Hastings, who has had some real ethical issues in his past. And so both the Los Angeles Times and the Sacramento Bee saying, you know what, Nancy Pelosi, think about this. You really want to have Jane Harman. And I think one of the things that has been written about, reported on, the Nancy Pelosi-Jane Harman relation, both of them are married to hugely rich men. Jane's husband is Harman Kardon, you know, speakers and all that kind of stuff. And Paul Pelosi, I think, is an investment banker in the city. And Nancy Pelosi is a new grandmother. She has a brand new grandchild born, I don't know, just a couple of days ago. But there has been a frosty relationship. And one thing that was reported is that Nancy Pelosi thinks that Jane Harman should have not sided so much with the Republicans as she did. Now, I don't know what the real genesis of their animus is with each other, but in any event. All right, so here it is. You have on an airline recently, we already know about that case where here was a couple having sex on the airplane, you know, wiggling their giblets around in all the passengers' faces. And they were horrible to the flight attendant who refused to serve them, told them to stop, and the guy was snarling and angry. Well, guess what? The last laugh was on him, because when the plane landed, that couple was hauled off to the pokey, and now they are standing trial. Here is a different situation. This is a nursing mom and a flight attendant, and they got into it each other, and it has sparked a discrimination complaint. The woman has a 22-month-old daughter and was removed from a flight after a flight attendant asked her to cover up while she was breastfeeding the girl. The woman, who's 27, filed a complaint against the feeder airline and the airline that operates it. So the feeder is, I think, Freedom Airlines, and it's operated by Delta, with the Human Rights Commission of her state, which is Vermont, that the airlines violated a state law that allows women to breastfeed in any place of public accommodation. In a show of support, about 30 mothers and fathers and dozens of children staged a nurse-in protest. She says, I've always nursed my children. When I'm on a plane, and their ears hurt with the altitude change, and it's a strange environment for them. So here was a woman nursing her child, and the attendant says, you got to cover up more. And I don't know what was revealed and what wasn't revealed. It's not anything we don't see a lot of all the time, but maybe it does make people uncomfortable. I don't know. Maybe she should have covered up a little bit more. She says that she began nursing, and she says, I was not exposed. That's what she said. But the flight attendant approached, trying to hand her a blanket and asked her to cover herself. You are offending me, said the flight attendant. The woman says, I'm not doing anything wrong, and I'm not going to cover up either. Oh, listen, you don't want to get those blankets anywhere near you on a plane. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal recently, and I probably have it somewhere. I'll find it. And what flying cooties cylinders airplanes are. I mentioned this before, but I didn't get into the specifics. It's really pretty disgusting. Some of these airlines, like Delta, they don't do detailing. They don't do real. They're all trying to save money. They're all trying to cut corners. And in Delta's case, I think they were one of the worst. It was every 18 months. Every 18 months that it had a thorough cleaning. Can you know how many people are in and out of an airplane every day? All those millions of flights. They once did a cootie test on the blankets and on the pillows and the rag that you rest your poor little tired throbbing head on, and it was just, it's horrible. Plus there's never enough oxygen, and so I really wouldn't blame, forget it. You don't want to have anything to do with those blankets if you can avoid it. But in any event, that was a nursing mom has filed a complaint against the airlines. The flight attendant told her to cover up. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320. If you're sitting next to somebody like that, are you going to be uncomfortable? You might be. I don't know. I might be a little uncomfortable, but what are you going to do? It's nature calling. 866-626-1320. And presumably if the baby was nursing, the nipple was inside the baby's mouth. So what is there really to see? You see more low-cut. You see more with teenage girls, I'm telling you, wearing these low-cut things that look like Wonder Bras where everybody's spilling out of every place. I was at the gas station one night, and I am walking into the gas station, I guess, to pay, and here are these teenage girls. It was last Friday night. And they look so slutty, these kids. I think I'm just getting a nerd to it. And I have been a nerd to it. But suddenly, I don't know, my eyeballs opened up wide. And I thought, God, these kids look like little tarts. But that's the look. That's what everybody looks like now. Everybody, you know, the look is right, white trash. That's the look that we are achieving. Finesse. Forget about that. That's an old story. So we're talking about women in the state's biggest companies, not enough female executives. And when you find a woman around somewhere, she's getting it from the flight attendant because she is breastfeeding her child, and the airlines are having a problem with that, or this particular flight attendant didn't. So this woman has filed a complaint saying, you know, this violates the law. The law says that you can breastfeed. 349-1320. And remember now, there was that couple that was doing way more than they were breastfeeding too, but they were adults. They were doing worse. But now they're standing trial for it. we have avoided a lot of politics, but I think we're not going to be able to avoid it for a whole lot longer, because guess what? Democrats are being warned by high-level GOP members not to block some of these judicial appointments, and some of them are so bad that even Republicans don't want them. And what's even worse is that
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Lou Mulligano. The FDA says okay. After a 14-year recess, silicone gel breast implants are good to go again. They were pulled from the market out of concerns for safety, and CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says those concerns are still there.
This is not the end of the deal. They're going to have a very strict monitoring program. 40,000 women are going to be followed over 10 years. So if there's a problem that develops, they're hoping that they can detect it early and then take appropriate measures.
But the director of Public Citizen Health Research Group, Sidney Wolf, asked why the close watch. The FDA and the industry had 14 years to determine safety.
If there were reasonable assurance of safety, why don't they have 10 years of data at this point? And the answer is there isn't any answer.
Wolf calls the reintroduction of silicone gel breast implants a mockery of the system. Wall Street ended a busy week with another record close in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The Dow closed at 12,342. It's a new trading high. And CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says any coming correction won't be major.
We've had a pretty rapid rise, and the market is a little overextended, so we should expect a little bit of consolidation in the next few weeks. But I don't see anything that's really going to trip this rally up, at least between now and the end of the year.
The tech-heavy NASDAQ did not fare so well, slipping 3 to close at 24.46. It's the eve of the Michigan Wolverines' number 1 versus number 2 showdown with rival Ohio State. And of all times, Michigan football coaching great Bo Schembechler has died.
This is Steve Futterman on the Ohio State campus in Columbus. At tomorrow's showdown game between Michigan and Ohio State, perhaps the biggest matchup in the history of the two schools' bitter rivalry, they will remember Bo Schembechler. There will be a moment of silence. Although Schembechler will always be remembered as a Michigan man, for several years he was also an Ohio State man as an assistant coach. Tomorrow he will be saluted by fans from both schools.
Schembechler collapsed after a taping of a TV show today. He was 77.
Mama!
Another tragic loss. There are reports of the passing of Ruth Brown, the gutsy rhythm and blues singer whose career extended to acting and crusading for musicians' rights. John Perellis is the music critic at the New York Times.
She had a voice that was steeped in the blues, steeped in jazz, but also had this gumption in it that was all her own. So she would just tear into a song and make you feel all of her joy and all of her anger and all of her sexiness all at once.
Ruth Brown was 78, her death announced by her lawyer and executor, Howell Bickel. The Pentagon has told 57,000 troops they'll be headed back to Iraq next year. They'll be replacing troops currently there. The Army's 3rd Infantry Division, based at Fort Stewart, Georgia, will become the first to serve 3 tours. This is CBS News.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we aren't the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love. Visit Match.com for details.
This Sunday, experience a journey of incredible courage. They overcame starvation, brutal cold, and unseen enemies to make their place in a new world. It was a true test of manhood, even for the women and children. The Pilgrims. You've never heard their story like this. Taken from first-hand accounts. Desperate Crossing. The untold story of the Mayflower. Premieres Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
President Bush's pick for Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, says Iraq would be a top priority for him if confirmed by the Senate.
Gates visited top leaders of the Senate and got a green light. He used to run the CIA and said if confirmed, he looks forward to getting to work.
Clearly, one of the highest priorities, if not the highest priority, will be looking at the situation in Iraq.
Republicans running the lame duck session say they'll move fast on confirmation. Democratic leader Harry Reid also is looking forward to having Donald Rumsfeld replaced.
It's to our interest to have this
change at the head of the Defense Department as soon as possible.
Confirmation hearings for Gates will start in early December. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
It was a three-day path of death and destruction. Horrific storms exploding through the east from Louisiana to Maine, leaving 12 dead. Flash flooding caught dozens by surprise, needing rescue from homes and cars. In fact, most of Maine is still under a flood watch this evening. I'm Lou Maligano.
And now, Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to hour three of the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, Monday through Friday on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. But I won't be with you on Wednesday. I'm going to take it off, or Thursday or Friday of next week, because we're doing the holiday. But I will be back with you on Monday. You'll be in great hands, and I will be with you Monday and Tuesday of this week, of this coming week. We've been talking about a lot of things. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about, I don't know why people are standing in line for days and weeks and months for those new PlayStations. We've been talking about a new study that comes out that tells us that there are not too many women who occupy positions of power as executives or board members on the state's biggest companies. We're talking about a nursing mom who an airline flight attendant said, hey, cover up or you're out of here, and pulled her off the flight. So the nursing mom has filed a complaint. We are also talking about Senator Barack Obama, who is introducing legislation to put a stop to robocalling. We're talking about Abramoff, who's off to the pokey, and in the bottom paragraph of the story saying, adios, I'm off to the pokey for 6 years. They talk about how John Doolittle is being scrutinized as part of the Abramoff investigation, and how he not only pocketed a lot of money from Abramoff, but used his luxury skybox and initially did not report that he did so. Now, I want to add to the conversation. Oh, and we're talking about the two penguins, the little book designed for 4 and 8 year olds of two male penguins who took over an egg and decided to raise it together. So a lot of parents are really upset about that. They think it has too many gay overtones for a 4 to 8 year old. I don't think a 4 to 8 year old knows anything about that. So some of these parents are really upset about it, and you may want to comment about that as well. Remember, you can email me, enid@kctc.com, WeStreamLive, 1320leftchannel.com. Here's a name we haven't heard recently, Michael Moore, Fahrenheit 9/11. He's got a new film coming out called Sicko, and I think it's about the health care industry. And he says today, I would like to extend an olive branch. Those of you who consider yourselves conservative and usually vote Republican have not had a very good couple of weeks. Trust me, I know how this feels. In fact, those of us on the other side of the fence really don't know what it's like to win. So if we seem a bit awkward right now, were we supposed to vote for the majority leader the speaker said to vote for, or stick to our promise to the other guy? Forgive us. I know you're dismayed at the results of last week's election. You've got to be freaking out about what this bunch of tree-hugging, latte-sipping, men-kissing men advocates will do now that the country's in our hands. I don't blame you, writes Michael Moore. We'd never admit it, but we secretly admire you because you know how to chop down a tree, take your coffee black, and enjoy women kissing women. Good on you. What I don't want is for you to drop into the deep funk we liberals have been in for 2+ decades. Yes, your Republican revolution is over, but hang in there and do not despair. I and the millions who voted for Democrats have no interest in revenge for the last 12 years. In fact, let me make 12 promises as to how we will treat you, the minority, in coming years. This is Michael Moore's pledge, and here it is, a liberal's pledge to dishearten conservatives. Number one, we will always respect you. We will never, ever call you unpatriotic simply because you disagree with us. In fact, we encourage you to dissent and disagree with us. Number two, we will let you marry whomever you want, even though some among us consider your Republican behavior to be different or immoral. Who you marry is none of our business. Love and be in love. It is a wonderful gift. Number three, we're not going to spend your children's money on our personal whims or to enrich our friends. It's your checkbook, too, and we will balance it for you. Number four, when we soon bring our sons and daughters home from Iraq, we will bring your sons and daughters home too. We promise never to send your kids off to war based on some amateur PowerPoint presentation cooked up by men who have never been to war. Number five, these are Michael Moore's pledge of his pledge. When we make America the last Western democracy to have universal health coverage and all Americans are able to get help when they fall ill, we promise that you too will be able to see a doctor regardless of your ability to pay. And when stem cell research delivers treatments and cures for diseases that afflict you and your loved ones, we'll make sure that those advances are available to you and your family too. Number six, when we clean up our air and water, you too will be able to breathe the cleaner air and drink the purer water. When we put an end to global warming, you will no longer have to think about buying oceanfront property in Yuma. Number seven, should a mass murderer ever kill 3,000 people on our soil, we will devote every single resource to tracking him down and bringing him to justice immediately. We will protect you. Number eight, we will never stick our nose in your bedroom or your womb. What you do there as consenting adults is your business. We will continue to count your age from the moment you were born, not the moment you were conceived. Number nine, we will not take away your hunting guns. If you need an automatic weapon or a handgun to kill a bird or a deer, then you really aren't much of a hunter and you should perhaps take up another sport. In the meantime, we will arm the deer to make it a fairer fight. Number 10, when we raise the minimum wage, we will raise it for your employees too. They will use that money to buy more things, which means you will get the money back. And when women are finally paid what men make, we will pay conservative women that wage too. Number 11, we will respect your religious beliefs, even when you don't practice those beliefs. In fact, we will actively seek to promote your most radical religious beliefs. Blessed are the peacemakers. Love your enemies. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. We will let people in other countries know that God doesn't just bless America. He blesses everyone. We will discourage religious intolerance and fanaticism starting here at home. And number 12, we will not tolerate politicians who are corrupt and break the law. And we promise that we will go after the corrupt politicians on our side first. If we fail to do this, we need you to call us on it. Simply because we are in power does not give us the right to turn our heads the other way when our party goes astray. Please perform this important duty as a loyal opposition. I promise all of the above to you because this is your country, too. You are every bit as American as we are. We are all in this together. We sink or swim as one. Thank you for your years of service to this country and for giving us the opportunity to see if we can make things a bit better for our 300 million fellow Americans and for the rest of the world. Now, writes Michael Moore, pull yourself together and let's go have a Frappuccino. What do you think about that? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Michael Moore, Fahrenheit 9/11. He says, I'd like to extend an olive branch to those of you who consider yourselves conservative. I know it's not been a good week for you. You haven't had a really good couple of weeks, but this is our pledge to you. Well, we didn't hear that from the Republicans, did we? No, not at all. In fact, we are hearing more threats from the Republicans. Yes, we are. Well, along the lines of Mitch McConnell is saying that if the Democrats don't vote the right way on Dickey's judicial nominations, guess what? Then the Republicans are not going to go along with Democrats on other things. That's one of the threats that's being made. 349-1320. So they're still threatening us. They don't remember that they're no longer in power. They're still threatening us. So here is Michael Moore. He's saying the thing that I think everybody wants to hear. What he is saying is, I would like to extend the olive branch. What he is saying is, we are living in common ground here. What he is saying is, a house divided cannot stand. A house divided, isn't the proper quote, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And he's saying what we need to do is get together and work together. And I think he said it brilliantly. The Senate's next Republican leader has issued a veiled threat, a fatwa, kind of, to block action on legislation if Democrats refuse to allow confirmation votes on Dickey's troubled judicial nominations. So this is the Republicans that you're dealing with, so I don't know how we're going to come together. They haven't realized that apparently, they haven't realized that they're no longer in power. Here it is. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, who will become minority leader January 4th, told the Conservative Federalist Society today not to feel bad about the Senate election results because Republicans will hold 49 seats in a body that requires 60 votes to end a filibuster and bring legislation or presidential nominees to a final vote. If the Democrats want our cooperation, they'll give the president's judicial nominees an up or down vote, McConnell said. Some of these people are really bad. I think the Democrats cannot vote these people in. Vice President Dick Cheney told the same group today that the Republicans' loss of Congress in last week's election won't dissuade Bush from continuing to nominate strict constructionist judges to the federal bench. You know, people that you are going to have to live with for 5,000 years, way after this administration has come and gone, and the awfulness that it has perpetrated on us as a country, we will be living with these, you know, with what the Supreme Court decides now that it has a conservative majority. Majority Leader Bill Frist, not for much longer, became so irked that he brought the Senate to the brink of shutting down by threatening to get a parliamentary ruling forbidding filibusters on judicial nominations. So there almost hasn't been a filibuster, except that there still is. So here is Mitch McConnell threatening. He is threatening Democrats with, we won't vote for any of your stuff if you don't go along with these horrible judicial nominations. And I, you know what I think the Democrats have to do? I think they have to stand their ground. And I think they have to start doing what's right. And I said earlier, when I was thinking about the Democrats and the Republicans, the trouble with the Republicans is that they're corrupt. And the trouble with the Democrats is that they're sometimes inept. Both words ending with a pt. So, for whatever significance that may be. So, I don't know what's going to happen here. And if the Democrats miss this golden opportunity by reverting to their usual fecklessness, by, doing a lot of infighting with each other, or reverting to a kind of corruption that they, too, are accomplished at, then we will have missed something very important as a party, and we will have missed something very important as a country. Karl Rove may be leaving the White House in weeks, not months. The rumors that Karl Rove will leave sometime next year are being bolstered with new insider reports that his partisan style is a hurdle to Bush's new push for bipartisanship. Well, Bush says he's pushing for bipartisanship, but where is it? I don't exactly see, when he's trying to shove down the nomination, these judicial nominations of people so draconian that even Republicans, a lot of Republicans don't want them. You tell me, where is the bipartisanship, other than it's just a phrase that he's using? You know, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm bipartisan. We're going to work together. I know we are. Other elements are also at play. Trent Lott, elevated now to the number two GOP leadership position in the Senate, is a threat to the White House and to Rove, who worked against him when he battled to save his majority leader's job after his insensitive remarks about Strom Thurmond. Insiders also report that Bush counsel Harriet Myers, remember, they wanted her for the Supreme Court, but her makeup wasn't quite right, that she's not a fan of Karl Rove's, believes that Karl Rove did not do enough to help her failed Supreme Court nomination among conservatives. In fact, one top West Wing advisor said that the unexpected ouster of Rove's aide, Susan Ralston, who had one time, I think, also had worked for Jack Abramoff, over ethics questions, was orchestrated by Harriet Myers as a signal to Rove to leave. The advisor said that Rove is aware of the situation and that a departure might come in weeks, not months. A Rove ally, however, noted that Karl Rove has a record of outwitting his critics. I don't think he's going anywhere. I'll be very surprised if he does. Well, you think he's going to go anywhere? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I think it's wishful thinking. And remember the remark that Dickey made at a press conference right after the morning after the election. He said to Karl Rove, he said, I obviously was working harder in the campaign than he was, he said about Karl Rove. So there you have Michael Moore's pledge. And I love the tabloid, so let me read you the latest installments. The latest installment. The Globe has been running every week a new installment on the Bush's marriage. Here's the headline on this week's installment. It says, Laura orders the Prez, dump Condi and save our marriage. And at the tip-off that there might be absolutely no truth whatsoever to this story is that there is absolutely no byline whatsoever to this story. Usually when there's some truth, there's usually a byline. So I'm thinking this is like the Elvis story where every week there was a new development. So here it is. This is Laura to the President. Dump Condi. White House divorce crisis. So this is how they're bracketing it. White House divorce crisis. Oh, my goodness. Laura Bush has issued an ultimatum to her embattled husband in a desperate bid to save their troubled marriage and his beleaguered presidency. Dump Condi, she is saying to him. Stunned by the shocking election results that returned the Democrats to power in Congress, in a stinging rebuke of George Bush's policies, sources tell The Globe in a world exclusive that Laura is firmly on the warpath. Bush, 60, has already accepted the resignation of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and now the First Lady, also 60, says it's time to get rid of her love rival, Secretary of they're tired of a menage a trois, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, 52, the younger woman. Dark days, headline, dark days. Laura blames all of her husband's advisors for the dark days that they have entered, an insider tells Globe. But, of course, she has a personal history with Condi. She has suffered enormously from whispers of an affair between Condi and George, and that Condi has become closer to the president than he is to her. As the Globe reported in a series of world-exclusive stories over the past 6 months, every week, in fact, a new installment, rumors about a possible romantic relationship between Rice and President Bush have strained his marriage to the breaking point. One night, a heartbroken Laura fled the White House following a bitter argument with her hubby and stayed at a Washington, D.C. hotel. This tabloid has also revealed that a distraught Condi broke down in a stunning show of remorse and apologized to Laura for throwing her marriage into turmoil. But now, with the president's legacy in tatters and his marriage collapsing, Laura still simply wants Condi gone for good. Laura sees a perfect opportunity for a clean sweep for the sake of George's legacy and their marriage, the insider says. She told the president, now is the time to let Condi follow Rumsfeld out the door. She's had it. Despite Condi's assurances that there has been no romance between her and Laura, Laura just thinks it's best for Condi to go. Sources say Laura is also determined to get George back on the straight and narrow. Pals tell the Globe they fear the dejected president has once again turned to booze to drown his mounting problems. George has hit bottom, the insider declares, and everyone fears that his drinking has increased since Election Day. Yeah, well, how can we tell the difference? With the White House in disarray, Laura is stepping up in a last-ditch attempt to salvage what's left of this presidency and her marriage. Laura's had it up to here, the insider says. The country gave the president a wake-up call as to what it wants, and she's also giving George a wake-up call as to what she wants. She wants him in rehab. She wants Condi out. She wants him to spend much more time tending to their marriage in the last 2 years of his presidency than he did in the first six. Headline, desperate. Their marriage is in a desperate state, and George still can't see it. He continues to blindly act like everything's okay, but Laura knows what's what. And she's starting to wear the pants in the White House. Well, she's always wearing pants. Have you noticed that? Her first order of business is getting rid of Condi, and then she's going to help George restore his legacy and restore their marriage to the beautiful thing it once was. The stress of the office and living in a fishbowl, the rumors, the controversies, the constant pressures have left their marriage in shreds. She's brought the subject of dumping Condi up to George three times, and he has never given her an answer. But her feelings are quite simple. If he can give in to the Democrats and give Rumsfeld the boot, he can certainly give in to his wife and get rid of Condi. 349-1320-866-626-1320. What do you think? Truth or fiction? Jeffrey in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Excellent. I just wanted to make a quick comment on that, and mostly actually a comment on the Michael Moore list, which I found really interesting.
Wasn't it lovely?
It's really good. It is. My whole thought is that I would just like to see, I mean, it's really good to see an olive branch extended across the aisle. I think that's probably the best way to see progress made in this environment. The only thing that I'm wary of is that the Democrats really bind together and get a good, solid, you know, effort together. I think that's probably one of the weakest links in my party.
I'll tell you who one of the most important people now is in the party, Joe Lieberman.
Yes.
Everybody's going to court Joe Lieberman, the guy who has sort of said he was independent, and then he was said he was Democratic, and then he sort of made little hints here, hither and thither, that he might go Republican.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very, very, I think that's a good point. The other thing I wanted to mention, back to the just previous story of the George's marriage and whatnot, seems that he's lending his negligent skills toward his marriage as he is with the government.
Well, you mean he's as incompetent? He's as AWOL? You know, did you laugh when they said he was going to Vietnam? What took him 30? Took him 30 years to get there.
Yeah, that's.
Where did he go, to Thailand? I heard one report. I thought maybe I misheard it, that said he was on his way to Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when he had the chance to really go, he was too busy. He was AWOL. He's been AWOL his whole life. And I tell you that story. Republicans don't want to hear it, but I do have a friend whose good friend is one of the owners of the Texas Rangers, and he says that when George came aboard, the Texas Rangers, you know, remember now, George had lost, Dickie had lost zillions of thousands of dollars of his parents' friends' money in one failed venture after another.
Yeah.
There was always money, and he always didn't do well. He always lost it when it was all just pretty much handed to him. And not to mention the blow that he was doing and the drinking that he was doing. And now he falls into this Texas Ranger deal, and they know that his best skills are his cheerleading skills. They don't even let him come into the office. They want him outside. And if you look at pictures from that time, he's always sitting in the stands. He's always schmoozing and cruising. He was like an ambulatory. He was like the PR guy. He was like the flack for the team. He was always doing kind of community relations. And can you imagine? Talk about the arc of somebody's life. Somebody who is so, what a flop-o-matic he was, and now he becomes President of the United States. The least amount of political experience, I think, of any president coming into office. He didn't know much about history or geography either.
Yeah,
and he's incompetent, and in his marriage apparently is. Well, we don't really know if this is a true story, but it is so much fun. We love reading the weekly installments.
I guess the employment, the thing that I think about is it wouldn't surprise me. I got back from an extended stay in England about 2.5 months, and I'm really surprised at and I had been there 10 years ago. I'm really surprised at how different we're seen as American citizens now as opposed to 10 years ago. That's one thing that stood out to me.
Well, we don't have this. We had tremendous goodwill, and we were so used to it, we thought we'd always have it. And we don't have that anymore around the world. People hate the government, and they're starting to hate us, too, because we tolerated this government, the previous one, and voted them in.
Yeah, I'm just glad.
Although I'm not sure we did vote them in, but theoretically. Exactly. All right, Jeffrey, we're going to leave it there. I thank you so much for calling us. I appreciate your perceptions. Okay, here it is. In a letter addressed to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, chairman to be of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy. You remember who Patrick Leahy is. This is who Dick Cheney told to go F himself on the floor. He dropped an F-bomb on poor old Patrick Leahy on the floor of the Senate. These are the family values guys. You know, they gather up their F-bombs and they drop them all, these chicken hawks, these pathetic, tragic, you know, a tubby swagger of Dick Cheney. Anyway, in a letter addressed to Alberto Gonzalez, another mediocrity, chairman to be of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy has requested, listen to this, the release of documents that outline the Bush administration's interrogation policies. If the request is not met, the democratically controlled Judiciary Committee will have the option to subpoena when the new Congress begins in January. This is what we have been waiting for. These documents, which have long been thought to exist by observers and critics of America's national security policies, were confirmed to exist as a result of a still pending Freedom of Information Act lawsuit by the ACLU. You remember that organization that John Doolittle tried to smear Charlie Brown as belonging to? You know, that organization, that ACLU? One of the documents is believed to be a companion piece to the now infamous August 2002 memo that redefined torture and, as a result, broadened the range of interrogation tactics permitted in the field. So there you have it. Patrick Leahy, the recipient of Dick Cheney's love bomb, the F-bomb, is now seeking to subpoena these torture documents. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. I love the beauty of it outside. It just feels so good. We're going to see some sprinkles, but absolutely gorgeous weather. And our highways, byways, and freeways are looking about the same. We do have a two-car crash up in 99. Otherwise, nice. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
Party, special occasion, business luncheon, or just for the holidays. Want a great idea that's healthy? Edible arrangements. Fruit arrangements that look so good to eat because you can. Edible arrangements. Fresh, delicious, and wonderfully unforgettable. Edible arrangements. Call today, 784-6639. That's 784-6639.
There's never been a better time to buy a Nissan than during Future Nissan's National Year-End Sales Event. Incredible savings like the new 06 Nissan Altima 2.5S Automatic Special Edition starting as low as $16,685 after your $3,000 rebate. Buy at this price. Hurry to Future Nissan because at $16,685, these new 06 Nissan Altima 2.5S Special Editions won't last. Future Nissan in the Roseville Auto Mall, I-80 and Eureka Road. $1,000 customer cash is for engine replacement vehicles only.
Enid Goldstein here for Smud Greenergy. When you sign up for the Greenergy program, you're replacing polluting energy sources like coal and oil with clean energy from the sun, wind, geothermal, water, and landfill gases. So join the green team. More at smud.org/green.
Come into Safeway today for terrific prices on turkeys. With your club card, get Grade A Manor House frozen turkeys up to 16 pounds, just $5.99 each. Over 16 pounds, just $7.99 each. Plus, get honeysuckle turkeys up to 16 pounds, just $7.99 each. Over 16 pounds, just $9.99 each. Limit 2 while supplies last. Safeway guarantees the lowest price on USDA Grade A frozen turkeys. We'll match any competitor's price. Restrictions apply. Start thawing your turkey today to make the exclusive Safeway 2-hour turkey recipe. Plus, get great side dish recipes. Pick up the 4 tools needed to create the 2-hour turkey and receive $3 off. Today, either in-store with your club card or online at Safeway.com, California-grown seedless clementine mandarin oranges are $4.99 for a 5-pound box. Plus, get Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream in 1 3/4 quarts. Selected varieties are buy one, get one of equal or lesser value free. And check out our special holiday hours.
Are you having any fun?
Safeway, ingredients for life.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, we're talking the olive branch being extended by Michael Moore to conservatives and Republicans and the disgruntled and all the things we're going to do better than the Republicans did. And it's actually a wonderful pledge. and we're talking about the latest installment in the George Bush marriage crisis, which may or may not actually exist, but it's always fun to read about. And we're talking about the fact that you've got some big power brokers, judiciary leaders who are seeking the torture documents, and Patrick Leahy. Remember, the thing that we were voting in was subpoena power and investigative power, so all of that. And for the moment, we have managed to be a Tom Cruise-free zone, although I guess the marriage is underway out in the paparazzi are vying with each other for coverage, and because here's the deal, it's a commerce deal. They can sell those photos for zillions of dollars, so they'll do whatever it takes to get the pictures, and so everybody's spending a lot of money. And meanwhile, Tom Cruise, here's a memo to Tom Cruise from one of the editors of Variety, sort of a big deal at Variety, and talking to him about his Scientology, and you know, put a sock on it. Everybody seems so. See, this is what we've become. Everybody can't get enough, I guess, of Tom Cruise and his wife. When I think we ought to be paying attention to some of this other stuff that's going on in this country, because we're sort of sinking quickly. Barack Obama, in addition to instituting legislation against robocalls, which would be a good thing, and maybe retroactively that would be one way to put John Doolittle into the pokey. He is now posing a threat to Hillary in 2008. He's leading John McCain, and he has closed the gap so that he's only about 12 points He trails Hillary Clinton by about 12 points. On the GOP side, John McCain surprisingly trails Rudy Giuliani, who's going to have a really interesting time of selling himself to conservatives. McCain is trailing Giuliani by about 2 points. Bill O'Reilly, another fraud. Somebody's doing an opera of Bill O'Reilly. Do you remember that Bill O'Reilly had the terms of the settlement were sealed, but one of his co-workers was accusing him of sexual harassment? Well, while the sexual harassment allegations levied against Bill O'Reilly by former Fox News producer Andrea Macris might seem like fodder for a made-for-TV movie, some have decided to elevate the he said, she said back and forth to a more refined art form. So enter a tenor saxophone player from Washington who has reimagined the O'Reilly saga as a 31-part, concert-length, Baroque oratorio titled, rather theatrically, Macris versus V. O'Reilly. The libretto opens with a reading of the original complaint filed by the woman and runs through seven chorales, four recitatives, and numerous arias before the denouement. So it's an opera. I don't know, 31-part opera about the sexual harassment allegations leveled against Bill O'Reilly by somebody he wanted to work with. I don't know. You probably wouldn't want to hear the juicy details. It's probably pretty awful. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. We're talking about Michael Moore. We're talking about the subpoena power that is beginning to make itself manifest in the action of Patrick Leahy, who has requested the release of documents that outline the Bush administration's interrogation policies. And one official has said the United States or other countries will one day be forced to consider preemptive action if Iran and North Korea continue to seek nuclear weapons. So we're mulling, apparently, some sort of a preemptive strike against Iran. And I don't know what Israel's doing against Iran, because every time the president of Iran starts ranting, what he's saying is he's going after Israel and he's going to blow it away and they're 60% gone and he's going to get the rest of them, and it goes on and on and on. Or he's 30% gone. I can't remember. 349-1320. And Sandra Day O'Connor has, and this, I think, you know, you can trace some of this to right-wing radio, right-wing talk radio. And here it is. If you were listening, there were a number of issues that came up. And the word that came, the phrase that you heard in right-wing talk radio was judicial activism. And a lot of these right-wing hosts were dissing judges, even Supreme Court judges. And here's what we weren't told at the time, but it has come out now. There was a discussion of recent threats to judges' safety at a recent Bar Association conference. And it became startlingly specific when Sandra Day O'Connor, who is also a member of the Iraq Study Group, she's now a retired Supreme Court justice, recounted that each justice had received in the mail, quote, a wonderful package of home-baked cookies that contained enough poison to kill the entire membership of the court. Although the episode was not publicly disclosed when it occurred last year, it had a public, although little noticed, reveal last month when the sender of the poison cookies was sentenced in federal court to 15 years in prison. The sender pleaded guilty to 14 counts of mailing injurious articles. The 14 recipients of these poison cookies included 9 justices, the chiefs of staff of the Army, Navy, and Air Force, and the director and deputy director of the FBI. The packages containing either candy or baked goods were laced with rat poison. And in case you weren't suspicious about getting these home-baked cookies from a perfect stranger, each one contained a typewritten letter stating either, I'm going to kill you, or we are going to kill you, and adding, this is poisoned. The letter carried various return addresses of people who had earlier connections with the woman who actually sent the cookies, including 7 people that she'd gone to college with. The FBI determined that this woman wrote and sent the letters, typing a number of them on a typewriter, which hardly exists anymore, at a public library near her home. So here it is. There was a case in Chicago not very long ago where a justice's a judge's husband was murdered. So all of this business about judicial activism, all of this business about taking off after judges, all of this anger at judges makes it, for people who are unstable, it becomes poison cookies, or it becomes actual death threats. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Nice traffic. I mean, both of us, all of us are going to have a nice time going home. A two-car crash there south by 99, otherwise nice and smooth. And the weather is looking absolutely fabulous on this fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. She'll be back at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Hello, citizens of the world. Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference.
Make a difference. If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved.
And be sure to bookmark it.
The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
How would you like to cut your mortgage payment by over 50%? Then pay close attention, because the new Secure Advantage loan, only from Quicken Loans, could cut your payment in half. With the new Secure Advantage loan, you get the advantage of choosing an incredibly low payment month after month, plus the security of knowing your low rate is fixed for years. But these low rates may not last, so call 800-355-5029 to get your fixed rate fast. Join other California homeowners who are putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets. Call 800-355-5029 to see how Secure Advantage could cut your mortgage payment by more than half. That's a 50% lower payment and a fixed rate. Call Quicken Loans at 800-355-5029 and ask about the Secure Advantage loan. Call now, 800-355-5029. Equal housing lender, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Call Quicken Loans now, 800-355-5029.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Sacramento's Media Edge presents a screening of the award-winning film Shadow Company on Tuesday, November 21st at the Crest Theater at 7:30 p.m. In the late 20th century, the distinction between soldier and mercenary became blurred. The recent use of private military companies in Iraq has been more extensive than at any time in modern history. Shadow Company is a groundbreaking full-length documentary that explores the moral and ethical issues private military solutions create and addresses the risks of allowing profit-motivated corporations into the business of war. See Shadow Company Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Admission is $10. The screening benefits local alternative media, including Media Edge. More information is at We The Media TV or on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
In the world of small business, you hear all kinds of offers for products and services, but have little time to listen. So you learn how to size things up quickly, like this. For less than $95 a month, get AT&T Unlimited Local Calling, nationwide long distance, high-speed internet, and unified messaging. A service that consolidates messages from your email, fax, office phone, and wireless phone into a single mailbox. That's an 18% savings for the first year on our most essential services, backed by the most complete and secure network of the new AT&T. Call your AT&T small business expert at 1-888-ATT-8339 or go to att.com. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Available to businesses with 1 to 10 lines. Requires 1-year term. Taxes and other charges extra. For details of additional charges and requirements, call 888-288-1405 toll-free.
Hi, I'm Michelle Shockley, going places on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Sacramento County Historical Society presents A Taste of History at the Toe Auto Museum on Friday night. More than 15 historical groups and museums will prepare and offer tastings of traditional foods popular in California from its early days through 1950. The Sacramento Harvest Festival, an original art and craft show, is happening Friday through Sunday at Cal Expo. The Mountain Mandarin Festival is happening Saturday and Sunday at the Gold Country Fairgrounds in Auburn. This juicy fruit, the mandarin orange, is only available from now through January. Local favorite Mumbo Gumbo is in concert on Saturday night at the Palms in Winters. And clean-cut comedian Brian Regan is bringing his You Too comedy tour to the Crest Theater on Saturday night. I'm Michelle Shockley, going places on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
I-45 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live as we escape into the arms of the weekend and the holiday. It really is. I think everybody is sort of thinking that we're in holiday mode now. But I have to ask you this. We've been in the church lately, and yesterday we were really in the church because of these pastors, clergy of all denominations who are able to pinch sermons off the net. Well, the Church of England is making some news. It has broken with tradition dogma by calling for doctors to be allowed to let sick newborn babies die. This is what the Church of England is calling for. Christians have long argued that life should be preserved at all costs. And remember, we have the pro-life, faction of religion. But a bishop representing the National Church has now sparked controversy by arguing that there are occasions when it is compassionate to leave a severely disabled child to die. This has the disabled particularly are outraged, which I get you could understand that they might be. But what do you think about this? Actually, when, you know, when people at the end of their lives, that is when the greatest medical expenditure happens in terms of the insurance that, you know, nobody, it's not to say that you shouldn't, but sometimes it's preposterous. It's just that we don't want to say goodbye to people, but the end is near and there's not a whole lot that you can do to keep that from happening, except if you live in California and you never die unless you smoke and you eat red meat. But so sometimes, and there are lots of people, sometimes your parents probably have talked to you about this, about they don't want any heroic measures. Some things are simply natural. And so when a baby is born severely disabled, the Church of England is saying, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is just to let a sick newborn baby die. I'm not saying you don't try to do what needs to be done to preserve this child's life or to if something can be done. But if something cannot be done, maybe you just have to accept that this is how it is. Is this an awful thing? Is this too awful to contemplate? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. A lot of people are shocked by this. It is not for doctors or indeed anyone else to determine whether a baby's life is worthwhile simply on the grounds of impairment or health condition, say some people. This just comes about a week after the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecology sparked fury by calling for debate on the mercy killing of disabled infants. This is really interesting, isn't it? Because you know, if you have laws like you have in Oregon where you can decide when you want to end your life, I mean, here's some issues too. And it is controversial, but I don't know. I did know somebody, she wasn't a quadriplegic, she was a paraplegic. And she was married to a former priest, a former Catholic priest. He left the church to marry her. And this was a condition she was born with, and she could get around by wheelchair, she could put on her makeup, and she looked very stylish and fashionable. And she always used to rail against, people who wanted to impose this kind of thing. But anyway, she put her in the water. I met her at the swimming pool. Put her in the water and she could swim. She could move around. She couldn't do it on outside the water, but she could do it in the water. And in that place, she had much more freedom. So I really don't know what the answer to that is, except that there's got to be a certain amount of common sense. I mean, I know that when people are at the end of their lives and you put them on a respirator, you are really going to play hell trying to get them off the respirator. So when your beloved says to you, I don't want any heroic measures, that may be one of, because, you know, if you take them off the respirator, they will die. And yet they can't live without, unless they are on the respirator. So are they really living is the other question. So these are questions that people are beginning to debate now. And particularly, you know, from the churches where you expect that that life is defended at all costs, what they're saying is, you know, sometimes it happens that this is what it is. And you can't do anything about it. And you just have to let life take care of itself the way it does. And if somebody is born so severely disabled that they can't really function, well, what can you do about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If you're disabled, you might have a very different view of it, and I certainly would like to hear from you. And the other thing I want to talk about, too, is marriage. There's an argument to be made that marriage is not a good thing. From a different point of view, you know, all the studies that they do on marriage indicate that you will live longer if you are married, and especially if you are a man. You need to be married. You will conk out sooner if you are an unmarried man than if you were a married man. Now, I don't know. I don't think that works for women because they have to put up with these men that it shortens their lives, and that's why they don't conk out sooner. But the argument for why marriage may not be good for you is this. That they've done this research that tells us that in the last 20 years or so, we now confide in fewer people. And the person that we tend to confide in most is our marriage partner, if we have one. And it means that, you know, the number of people who depend totally on a spouse for important conversations with no person to turn to almost doubled to almost 10% from 5%. Not surprisingly, the number of people saying they didn't have anyone in whom they confided nearly tripled. The solution to this isolation is not to ramp up our emotional dependence on marriage. Until about 100 years ago, most societies agreed that it was dangerously antisocial, even pathologically self-absorbed, to elevate marital affection and nuclear family ties above commitments to neighbors, extended kin, civic duty, and religion. Isn't that a quaint idea now? I mean, everybody says, well, it's marriage. It's the sort of the nuclear family, where everything gets dumped on the mom, the dad, the 2.3 children. But in the old days, even 100 years ago, maybe even less than 100 years ago, people thought you were kind of dopey if all you focused on was the person you were married to. People felt a really strong obligation to their communities. They felt a really strong obligation to the public good. There was the sense that you had a larger obligation than simply to your beloved. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some slow traffic. It looks like we've got a car crash northbound 99 just past Marconi. And otherwise, really, it's been looking just fabulous. I haven't had much traffic to report this afternoon. That is good. Weather is good. And Enid Live will continue on this fabulous Friday at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
In the world of small business, you hear all kinds of offers for products and services, but have little time to listen. So you learn how to size things up quickly. Like this. For less than $95 a month, get AT&T Unlimited Local Calling, nationwide long distance, high-speed internet, and unified messaging. A service that consolidates messages from your email, fax, office phone, and wireless phone into a single mailbox. That's an 18% savings for the first year on our most essential services, backed by the most complete and secure network of the new AT&T. Call your AT&T small business expert at 1-888-ATT-8339 or go to att.com. The new AT&T. Your world. Delivered.
Available to businesses with 1 to 10 lines. Requires 1-year term. Taxes and other charges extra. For details of additional charges and requirements, call 888-288-1405 toll free.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Sacramento's Media Edge presents a screening of the award-winning film Shadow Company on Tuesday, November 21st at the Crest Theater at 7:30 p.m. In the late 20th century, the distinction between soldier and mercenary became blurred. The recent use of private military companies in Iraq has been more extensive than at any time in modern history. Shadow Company is a groundbreaking full-length documentary that explores the moral and ethical issues private military solutions create and addresses the risks of allowing profit-motivated corporations into the business of war. See Shadow Company Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Admission is $10. The screening benefits local alternative media, including Media Edge. More information is at We The Media TV or on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The incredible Folsom Lake Toyota used car tent event with 10 vehicles under $3,000, 17 vehicles under $4,000, and 20 vehicles under $5,000. But they're going fast. Hurry to Folsom Lake Toyota today. Highway 50 Folsom exit under the flag and online at folsomlaketoyota.com.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I think it's Getaway Friday, and I think a lot of people have already gotten away for the run-up to the holiday. But we're talking about marriage, which is supposed to be such a great thing. It's supposed to make you live longer if you're a man, probably live shorter if you're a woman, because you got to do all the work. You're doing the housework, aren't you? You're doing all the heavy lifting. You're doing all the heavy emotional lifting. And guess what? You get paid 73 cents on a dollar, and you don't get to be in the, you know, you're hardly in the boardroom of any major California corporations or in any leadership positions. But in any event, it's being argued that marriage may really not be good for your mental health because there are so few of us. We have a declining number of people that we confide in. And if the only person you're confiding in is your beloved, your partner, that's not such a good thing. You're really more isolated. Ray in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
One of the things I say about that is I can certainly see a reason for marriage in, during the child-rearing years when you want to have some isolation from society. A nuclear family gives you the opportunity to pass on morals and ethics and everything else. But
Wait, why would you want more isolation if you're raising kids? I think it would seem to me that you want to expose them to...
If you want to impart your values and everything, you want some isolation from society. You don't want them exposed to everything. But after 50, let's say, when the kids are gone, and especially in an instance where you have a split, and, you know, don't have a long common history with somebody, I think that then, there's a strong argument for having, more close-knit friends. Everybody talks about having somebody to grow old with.
Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milligano. There are still concerns over safety, but the FDA is going ahead with a reapproval of silicone gel breast implants. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Emily Sine.
Generally speaking, the medical community is now saying that these breast implants are safe and effective, and that women who are interested in silicone gel breast implants can have access to them.
The FDA says it'll monitor 40,000 people for 10 years just to be sure of the safety. Though Dr. Sidney Wolf, the director of Public Citizen Health Research Group, says there's a double standard here.
Silicone gel is also used in testicular implants, and there aren't enough data to approve testicular implants. Isn't that ironic?
Wolf says the necessary safety checks simply have not been done. Great day in the stock market today. A robust week was tempered a bit, though, with commerce reporting a dramatic drop in housing starts, but still the Dow closed up 37 points. Oil's coming down, $56 a barrel today. And at AAA, Jeff Sundstrom says the price of gas will continue to slip.
There's plenty of crude oil. Seems to be lots of gasoline. We expect gasoline prices to move lower once we get past the Thanksgiving holiday travel period.
Vic says keep an eye on the price of oil. He says when it gets down about $50 a barrel, that should signal a breakthrough on the $2 a gallon floor. Scattered violence has marred the U.S. debut of Sony's PlayStation 3.
One reported to be approximately 17 years of age, Caucasian male, brandishing a silver pistol. The second subject is reported to be 17 to 18 years of age and was brandishing what appeared to be a sawed-off shotgun.
At State Police, Lieutenant Paul Vance in Connecticut, where these two guys were allegedly robbing people waiting in line for Walmart to open.
20 people were in line outside of the store when they were confronted by two armed individuals. The individuals attempted to commit an armed robbery of these patrons. One of the patrons resisted the robbery and was shot by one of the suspects.
In the shoulder, the shooter and his partner are still on the loose. Reports of people being trampled, robbed, shot for the money they were going to use to buy the PlayStation, beaten and robbed of the PlayStation. In Ohio, cops say the bad guys didn't even wait for the store to open, breaking in and stealing the PlayStations. Michigan football coach, great Bo Schembechler, has died on the eve of the Wolverines' number 2 versus number 1 showdown with rival Ohio State. Mary Sue Coleman's president of Michigan.
Bo had an unmistakable twinkle in his eye, and I will miss that spirit so much and so much more. I am grateful for this remarkable man and his contributions that have made Michigan so special.
Jim Beckler claps today after taping a TV show. He was 77. The Pentagon has told 57,000 troops they'll be heading back to Iraq next year. The Army's 3rd Infantry Division will become the first to serve 3 tours in Iraq. This is CBS News.
This Sunday, experience a journey of incredible courage. They overcame starvation, brutal cold, and unseen enemies to make their place in a new world. It was a true test of manhood, even for the women and children. The Pilgrims. You've never heard their story like this. Taken from first-hand accounts. Desperate Crossing. The untold story of the Mayflower. Premieres Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
Kohl's main event sale is this Friday and Saturday, and everything in the entire store is on sale. Let's ask stylist Alexa about holiday's newest colors.
Jewel tones are huge. Think jewels of India, topaz, burgundy, gold, blue.
In tops and dresses?
Yes, and tableware. Colored goblets really make a table look festive.
Wow, dress up with savings at Kohl's main event sale this Friday and Saturday. Save extra during power hours. Friday, 3 p.m. to midnight, and Saturday, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Kohl's, expect great things.
GOP Congressman John Boehner's been elected minority leader when the new Congress comes to town with a Democrat majority. He says it won't last long.
I pledged to them to do everything I could to bring our team together and to work hard so that we can earn our way back into the majority.
Rhythm and blues singer Ruth Brown shot stardom in the 1950s, has died in a Las Vegas hospital of complications from a stroke and a heart attack. Anthony DeCurtis is with Rolling Stone.
Ruth Brown really worked hard to help R&B singers of her generation to get paid from record companies who had held back royalties from them. You know, that happened in her instance, and she was satisfied not just to get her own back, but to help others get it too.
Brown's early recordings of Teardrops in My Eyes, 5, 10, 15 Hours, and Mama, He Treats Your Daughter Mean You're a star. I'm Lou Malagano, CBS.
And now, Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock, welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 in the run-up to this wonderful holiday. Well, I think for a lot of people, people are taking, you know, to avoid all the horrible travel, the problems at the airport and maybe the problems on the road. I think a lot of people have taken off yesterday. They're taking off today, making a week of it. One good friend is leaving this afternoon, and he won't be back until the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So I think that's what's beginning to happen. And I'll have some thoughts about Thanksgiving. It is my favorite holiday. But we were talking about many, many things if you were just joining us. We have been many places today. We have been to PlayStations and why people are waiting days in line to acquire a new PlayStation. We've been to the newspapers where two of them, the LA Times and the Sacramento Bee, have both endorsed Jane Harman to head up the Intelligence Committee. And when it's been reported that Nancy Pelosi is and she have a very frosty relationship, we have been talking about Michael Moore extending the olive branch. We've been talking about the fact that women can't seem to break through the glass ceiling in large California corporations. There are not too many of them on boards, and there are not too many of them in leadership positions. We're talking about a book, a children's book, where two male penguins have taken an egg and hatched it, and it's a book for 4 to 8 year olds, and it's based on a true story that happened in New York Central Park in the zoo. And a lot of parents are upset about it. We're talking about the possibility of euthanizing babies who are born severely disabled. This is the position of the Church of England, apparently, or at least they're talking about it. And we're talking about how marriage may not be so good for you, because we are talking and confiding in fewer people now than we were, oh, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Some people have nobody to confide in, and if the only person you have to confide in is just the person you're married to, you're really living in a state of virtual isolation. And marriage has evolved to such an extent that 100 years ago, it was thought bad form just to be overly involved with the person you were married to, that you had an obligation to the community, that you had an obligation to your friends, that what you are is emotionally dependent now, these days, on that one person who could conk out at any moment, and particularly if he runs off with someone half your age. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Ken in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ken.
How's it going?
Good.
Well, this begs an even larger question that ties into all of this. We are a species that's living completely outside of the stream of natural living. We're out of the circadian rhythm. We're no longer sun up to sun down. We're a 24-hour civilization.
24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, too, is that humans, on an evolutionary standpoint, are tribal animals. And for us to live in a tribal environment or a communal environment ensured long-term survival. And we don't need that anymore, so we've begun to move away from it, but the genetic base of our being, of our mental health, is still based in that tribal aspect. And in the same argument, in regards to marriage, monogamy is not a natural state of being. That's sociologically evolutionized.
Well, it depends. Yeah. There are different species that are monogamous, many are not, and some species are gay, and many are not. So,
right.
you know, it depends.
Humans are not.
How do you know? Oh, you're just saying that.
No, well, I mean sociology major. I got it backed up.
Well, oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
no,
from Gary Condit's extensive research. And by the way, I think he's living in Arizona running a Baskin-Robbins.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at males, particularly up until about 10,000 years ago, males reproduced between 4 and 6 women to ensure genetic drift. When you had populations so spread out...
You know what? They're still genetically drifting.
Oh, well, yeah. But
their chromosome they're going to be extinct in 150,000 years.
Yeah, that doesn't make me feel real good either.
Yeah, but so they better stop drifting and get it together. Keep those toilet seats down, not up.
Well, see, I have
and take their vitamins.
Philosophy on that one. But, you know, in regards to being lonely and all of that, we're a society or we're a species that's moved away from our natural proclivities, and we're seeing the backlash to that now. And you're talking about, you know, this PlayStation and people's dependence on television. If you really want to talk about the death of community, you can trace it all the way back to the end of World War II and the advent of the television.
I think TV, yes, but there's more to it than that.
Oh,
and let me just throw. I'm going to get this right. Dan Gilbert, he was a Harvard professor,
mm-hmm.
And I forget now the title of his book, but it had to do with being happy. And all of his studies, and he's been researching this now for many decades, and he says it isn't stuff that makes us happy.
No.
It's not more money. The only time more money makes you happy is when you are very impoverished and you make enough so that you get into the middle class.
Okay, now we're talking about Maslow's hierarchy.
No, this is Dan Gilbert talking about this. But what does make you happy is being with people.
Right, absolutely.
That really makes you happy. And the irony here is that we are so busy. We're so busy trying to make a living. We're so busy with our commitments. We're so busy with everything else that's the thing that we cut out first. The community life is one of the first things to fall by the board.
Yep.
Friendship is labor and time intensive.
Right.
So we aren't so happy.
And that ties all into it, you know. And the sad thing is, you know, I confide in my wife a lot, and about the only other person I confide in is you, you know, because the rest of my friends are working or have kids.
Ken, is that really true? The only other person besides your wife you confide in is me and the universe who is eavesdropping on us?
Right. I have no relationship with my family, and my wife's family are all born-again weirdos, so there's not real any connection.
Well, but what about friends? Do you ever go to the movie? You know, don't you have friends from work?
I do, but you know what's happened is the environment has become so politicized. Most of my friends are conservative, so all of a sudden there are walls of communication that are closed off because it becomes arguments. And to maintain friendships, there are just places all of a sudden that have become taboo. And I really think that plays into it as well. The environment is so hostile to open-minded discussion and an agreement to disagree that it really has gotten in the way of a lot of the friendships.
Did you always not have friends, or did you always have friends?
Actually, I'm an extrovert. I had a huge group of friends, but the older I get, the more they dwindle away, or they become really antisocial, or they become so conservative. You know, other than, you know, the past relationships that I've had with them, there's no current relationship because there can't be free speech without it turning into a political fight.
Well, here's some things that I would suggest. Do you ever take classes? Take some classes.
Yeah, I do.
Join some organizations. You do anything politically?
A lot of work for the Democrats. So the fun thing with that is most of the people I work with are really old women. I mean, most of
old women are great friends.
They are, but you know, you can't sit there and talk about, you know, the latest Van Halen concert you went to.
Well, but they can. You know what? They can set you straight on a lot of things. Old women are terrific. Friends, and you shouldn't don't you know, friendship is like love. It strikes in its own way, and you never know who's going to wind up being your friend. Sometimes the least likely person becomes your best friend. And there's no way you have to keep the door open, and don't you be dissing old women, Ken.
Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Much more mature women than myself. But it's funny, I thought, you know, getting into politics, I would meet more of a wide breadth.
Well, we're all more mature than you.
Thanks, Ned.
Just kidding. I could not resist, Ken. You gave me that door, and I was just going to barge right through
there
it.
You go.
But you have, there are lots of places where you can find friendship. And where you find it is in the thing that you love doing. So find something that you love doing. Do you like to, you want to cook? Take a cooking class, a photography class?
I'm a musician, you know. And
all
I'm
right, go.
Musicians.
Well, musicians, if they're not stoned, they're great friends. I thank you for the call, Ken. Thank you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay, I was watching Sanjay Gupta. I think he's kind of cute. On CNN, and he's a doc. And he's got a special coming up on happiness. And he was talking about what makes people happy, and he was talking about friendship, which we know because we've had some of these I think Dan Gilbert is a professor at Harvard, and he has written and studied friendship or happiness extensively. And I think what Sanjay Gupta was doing also was looking at people who meditate. Now, I am very interested in that because moi is always trying to meditate with, you know, varying degrees of success. But what they found out, they've been doing brain scans of people who are really Buddhist monks who are deeply involved in meditating, and they find that all the ways that you can measure it, looking at your lobes and your, you know, all the giblets that are in your brains, you know, they find that it is absolutely palpable that it has made a huge difference, and these people report themselves as being happy. Now, I think that's pretty interesting because I think one of the requisites for being able to for being a good meditator, and anybody who's mastered it, we really want to hear from you. There's a technique you can use meditating with your eyes open, but I'm not recommending that while you're or closed while you're driving. I mean, although you want to calm down, you don't want to. Although highways and byways have been good today, but I think there's something about acceptance with meditation. You're just not getting involved in the conversation that's going on in your head. You're just observing it, and you're breathing in and you're breathing out. Breathe in, breathe out. You know, you relax your body, breathe in, breathe out. And then your mind's going to wander and go to all kinds. Well, you know what? That happened and this happened and I don't have time to do this because I have more important things to do. And I don't, this is too time consuming. And I don't know. But it is that apparently has, he's doing this whole thing on the mind-body connection. And the happier you are, apparently, it can add like 7 years to your life. If you quit smoking, one of the statistics I saw is it only adds about 6 months to your life. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if I believe that either, because your immune system is so compromised by the assault of constant cigarette smoking and whatever else you're doing that's not good for you, that I don't know how they can determine it's only 6 months more that you get. But he says, Sanjay Gupta says, that the research tells us that if we are happy, and here we are, we're going to go into a holiday weekend, if we're happy, or the run-up to the holiday, we're going to live 7 years, as much as 7 years longer. And I bet you that's true. I bet you there's a lot of truth to that. Because if you're, they are saying that if you're really angry, it can, those stressors can bring on a heart attack. I just heard a report about that. And if you are really happy, then I think, I'll tell you what isn't happening. I think you're not trying to fill up with food, and I think you're not trying to fill up with too many purchases, too much. You know, I think there's a kind of really spiritual hunger in the country. And how we try to handle it is that we want to fill up with something. Sex. You know, that's the whole nature of addiction, I think. You're trying to change your mood. You're addicted to something you think will make you feel better, whether it's sex or whether it... See, somebody just called and said he wants to meet Ken. You know what? Here we are. We're a marriage bureau and friendship operation here. Well, we don't know for what purposes. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The proposition is that if you're happy, it'll add about 7 years to your life, that there really is a mind-body connection. I don't think people are disputing that anymore. For some time, you know, the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to think that because they can't push their pills on you. And how do you get happy? In a very time-strapped, very 24/7 society. Well, I think one of the things you need to be happy to get kind of quiet and meditative and to regenerate and renew yourself is something that is not so easy to come by. Something you're not going to find with your new Sony PlayStation. Something you're not going to find with all the e-gadgetry that is seductive and addictive. It is silence. You just have to be silent. And you have to kind of breathe in and breathe out and do a little bit of meditation. Even just a few minutes can settle you. And you can start to make some contact with yourself. And then you start to feel more equilibrium. And then maybe you can make some contact with somebody else and enjoy a friendship, a glass of wine with somebody, sit and talk with somebody. But the very idea that we have all become so isolated from each other that about 25% of us, is I think the figure I saw, have nobody to confide in. Now, talk to me about this. Talk to me about friendship. Talk to me about how rich friendship is. Here's what I know about friendship. When things are happening, maybe things that nothing can change, maybe you went to the doctor and you had a really bad diagnosis. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. And it doesn't matter what a fancy family you come from. And it doesn't matter how good you've been. You just got a really bad load of news. And there's nothing that can change it. Well, what can happen when you talk to a good friend who loves you and you love that friend? You can feel better about things. It may not change anything, but your response to what that thing is can be different and can change. Friendship is one of the richest things that we have. We don't, you know, what is the title? Oh, we're just friends. We're just, you know, the line that everybody, we're just friends. When you meet somebody, you know, if you're out with a guy who's not your beloved, we're just friends. Just friends. Friendship is really magic and special. and the thing that can make life richer. But that aside, the whole idea, I think, and what we are spending tons of money on in this country is to try to find happiness. And I don't think you're going to find it at the mall. I don't think, you know, it's not if you find just the right person. You have to be just the right person. You have to find it within yourself. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have slow traffic going on southbound 99 by Three Rivers Road. It looks like we do have one car crash that is in the middle of the roadway over there. Also, northbound 99 and Gap City Freeway just past Arden Way. Northbound Three Rivers Road as well. It just happened, a three-car crash over there. Eastbound 50 just east of Mather Field Road and Madison Avenue just west of Hemlock Street. We have a three-car crash. No injuries, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lane there at Madison. Enid Live will continue in AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's Future Ford's year-end clearance. With incredible savings on over 500 used vehicles in stock. Pre-owned 06 4x4 XLT Explorer. Two to choose from. Priced at $19,988. That's over $8,000 below Kelley Blue Book. There's never been a better time to shop Future Ford for incredible savings on over 500 pre-owned vehicles in stock. These 06 XLT Explorers won't last at $19,988. Future Ford in the Roseville Auto Mall and Future Ford I-80 in Madison.
ID numbers FR-64755, FR-64756, previous daily rentals.
The crisp of a fall morning, the winds of season change, the crackle of an evening fire in your home hearth, and the warmth of wood floors, Brazilian cherry, orchard walnut, Australian chestnut, just in time for the holidays. Now, today, you can have the luxury of hardwood floors, which are eco-friendly and only available at Green Sacramento. Hardwood floors from Eco Timber allow you to make a sustainable choice without sacrificing quality or value at prices competitive with the big box stores. Now, today, you need to shop Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. You can have the warmth of hardwood floors in your home by the holidays. An Eco Timber floor is a healthy choice for your home and an eco-friendly choice for our forest, and they are only at Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. Now, today, you can have Eco Timber hardwood floors installed in your home by the holidays, where beauty, quality, and the best environmental practices come together to create a solid investment in your home. Now, today, make the stop. Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden, or on the web at greensacramento.com.
Jamba Juice. No, Arden Fair Mall. Wait, Borders Books. Although, Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op.
Ma'am, do you want to think about it and call us back?
Nope, I'm going with Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Or Borders. But Arden Fair Mall.
Making a choice isn't always easy. When it comes to the environment, choosing to make it better is easy. Choose a cleaner, healthier environment by joining Smud's Greenergy. For as little as $3 a month, Smud will match your electricity use with energy created from clean, renewable resources like the wind and sun. It doesn't get much easier than that. Plus, get your choice of a free $10 gift certificate from Borders Books, Jamba Juice, Arden Fair Mall, or Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op when you enroll for 6 months or more.
I'll take Arden Fair or Borders. But the food co-op...
Start with the easy choice and join Smud's Greenergy today. Enroll online at smud.org or call 1-888-742-SMUD. Smud, the power to do more.
I'm News 10's Christina Mendonca. We'll have more tonight on ski resorts postponing their opening days. We'll see you at 11 on News 10.
The Morning Retort. Scott and Sam.
Maybe we'll be on it next time, but...
I don't want this maybe crap show to be perfectly honest with you. I want the fix to be in, like Florida.
There you go.
You're the guy counting the ballots. You're our Catherine Harris there at Sacramento Magazine.
I guess I am.
What is this event going to generate for the March of Dimes?
By the end of the evening, we're going to be able to hand a check over to the local March of Dimes for $320,000.
Joe Chiodo.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
24 on the run-up to Thanksgiving this weekend, preceding Thanksgiving. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking, as usual, about our flea market, a stew of ideas, a flea market of ideas today. We've been a lot of places, and where we are right now is why marriage may not be good for your mental health. A study released this year showed just how dependent we have become on marriage. Three sociologists have found that from 1985 to 2004, Americans reported a marked decline in the number of people with whom they discussed meaningful matters. People reported fewer close relationships with coworkers, extended family members, neighbors, and friends. The only close relationship where most people said that they discussed important matters in 2004, more so than in 1985, was marriage. So we have burdened marriage with even more, that poor fragile structure, with even more than it is usually burdened with. In fact, the number of people who depended totally on a spouse for important conversations with no other person to turn to has almost doubled. Not surprisingly, the number of people saying they didn't have anyone in whom they confided nearly tripled. The solution to this isolation is not to ramp up our emotional dependence on marriage. Until 100 years ago, most societies agreed that it was dangerously antisocial, that marriage was antisocial, even pathologically self-absorbed. To elevate marital affection and nuclear family ties above commitments to neighbors, extended kin, civic duty, and religion. Well, it just goes to show you how far away we've drifted from that. And I think, you know what? I think people think they're having a social relationship when they turn on the TV and a whole parade of people come through their living room. But really, what they're doing is they're sitting in a room by themselves, not really conversing with anybody, but thinking that they're having sort of a social experience. I think that's one of the things that television lulls into the thinking we're doing. 349-1320, Bill in Marysville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. I'm calling about the disability issue.
Yes.
And a lot of my friends, some of them can go out, you know, and mingle with other people, and you know, but some of us, we can't do that. We have to kindly stay home, and you know, and
so how does that how does that affect being able to have friends? Are you talking to people on the phone? Are you able to do it that way?
Yeah, and I'm going, people are coming by, and
so people come by to see you?
Yeah, and I can't watch television because I've got to the point where the diabetes has affected my eyes real bad, and so I cannot watch television, but I do listen to the radio, and I listen to this station here, you know, most of the time.
Well, we're glad that you do that.
And I also, the only thing I listen to on tapes, and you was talking about a while ago, is I like to hear something that's funny, something, you know, that's that'll make you happy, and I find that, you know, brings my spirit up and everything.
Bill, how old are you?
64.
And what's your disability, diabetes?
No, I've got quite a bit. I'm in a wheelchair.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm in a wheelchair, and I've been in there since quite a few years.
Okay.
And I'm a vet, so I go to the VA down in, you know, Sacramento. And
how do you get there and back?
I go down in the van.
They bring it to you, or are you living alone? Or are you living with family, friends, facility?
I live alone. I have a worker that comes in every day, and you know, she works for me, and you know, and things like that, you know, and cooks for me, and you know, the basic things and everything. But like I say, now some of my friends can go out there. Like the girl you was talking about swimming and everything, I know a lot of my friends that can swim and everything, but a lot of us, you know, some of the people like myself even, I'd love to get in that water and swim. They've tried to get me in there quite a few years ago, but the disability won't allow me to get in there, and that would help me quite a bit.
Oh, Bill. Well, sounds like things are not so easy for you.
And the other.
But it also sounds like you have a pretty good attitude about what your situation is.
Yeah, and the other thing is too, you got to have an attitude because people will look at you, and in this day and time, people will look at you, and because you're in a chair, and because you know the way you are, they will look at you, and.
And so, what do you do? Do you smile?
Yeah.
Just smile and say hi.
I do, and I go about my way, and sometimes.
Are you on the internet at all?
No, I can't get on the internet because I cannot see television, and I cannot.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there's a vision issue.
Yeah, and I've got a computer and a laptop, brand new, and I just cannot see it, and so. I'm going to send them to one of my daughters. And
where are your kids close by or are they far away?
Vegas and Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Oh, my goodness. Well, San Francisco's not so far.
No, they come up about once a year, and they give me a call all the time.
Well, that is a good thing. Well, we are happy that you are with us this afternoon. And we wish, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm sort of flummoxed because your situation is not an easy situation.
No.
But it sounds like you have a pretty good, you've learned how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because that's probably all you can do is deal with it.
Yeah, and I just, love listening to your station. And I love, sitting back and living to hear what other people say. And it makes my day.
Well, thank you, and you have made ours. Thank you, Bill. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Well, a removed kind of friendship two or three times removed. So maybe we are somebody that Bill is in a situation where you know, I hadn't thought about that, a situation where you can't get out. And if you don't know a lot of people or if you've been in a disabled condition for a long time, maybe the friends that you did have dispersed or... are no longer have gone to heaven, and then what do you do about friendship? That's not so easy, is it? If anybody has suggestions, who's been in a situation like that, or has some thoughts about it, we would like to hear from you. That one's really hard, huh? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about what makes you happy, and we put a lot onto marriage, so it's amazing that the divorce rate isn't even higher than 50%. People don't have. From medieval days until the early 19th century, the word love was more often used to refer to neighbors, cousins, fellow church members, than to spouses. Isn't that amazing? When honeymoons first gained favor in the 19th century, couples often took along relatives or friends for company. Victorian novels and diaries were as passionate about brother-sister relationships, let's talk to Angelina Jolie, and same-sex friendships as about marital ties. Men wrote matter-of-factly in Victorian days. Now listen to this. There was a much wider outlet in Victorian days, even though there was all this, we think of Victorian days as sexually repressed. But you have, apparently during the Victorian era, a wider outlet for intense emotions, including physical touch, than we see today. Men wrote matter-of-factly about retiring to bed with a male roommate and, quote, in each other's arms did friendship sink peacefully to sleep, end quote. Isn't that interesting? Today we would say, the gay penguins. But no, in the Victorian times when it was so sexually... restricted. Men wrote matter-of-factly about retiring to bed with a male roommate, quote, and in each other's arms did friendship sink peacefully to sleep. Upright Victorian matrons thought nothing of kicking their husbands out of bed when a female friend came to visit. They spent the night kissing, hugging, and pouring out their innermost thoughts. This was in Victorian times. The insistence that marriage and parenthood could satisfy all an individual's needs reached a peak in the cult of togetherness among middle-class suburban Americans in the 1950s. Women were told that marriage and motherhood offered them complete fulfillment. Men were encouraged to let their wives take care of their social lives. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Fred, in Rancho. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Fred.
Oh, Enid, this is a very interesting and complex situation you're talking about. But I think it's being even more complicated today because of the Internet, and it's giving people a false sense of friendship, and that they feel like they're socially getting along because they can go into chat rooms and so forth. And I think what you're kind of talking about the Victorian age is that you can be, there's a few other sources of friendship. One is being a friend with yourself, having a rich inner life, a rich inner voice, being able to be eloquent with yourself and have a lot of life experiences to relate to, like you talked about these Victorian people. And the next thing is, I think there's a friendship with other animals. Today people are putting a lot of friendship into their pets. So, I mean, like I have a dog, and she's my best friend in a lot of ways, and I can take her for a walk and meditate out there in the woods, and so I can kill two birds with one stone and address two of the issues you're talking about.
Yeah, but Fred, do you have two-legged friends too?
Yeah, I belong to Toastmasters.
Okay.
So this is that's a rich social fabric right there. I have a tremendous number of friends there. And we engage in that, you know, time-honored practice of giving speeches and things like this, and it takes a lot of coordination. And you develop a broad network of friends there besides overcoming your fear of public speaking.
Which is apparently ranks number one on the list of fears.
Absolutely.
Interestingly enough.
And being Toastmasters, you develop your sense of inner voice, you know, that sense of confidence, because education means to draw out of yourself. And in doing a lot of speeches, you get in touch with yourself just in the process of composing speeches, and you develop a rich inner life.
Well, Ken called us earlier, and he says he really doesn't have too many friends. And he says he loves music. So, you know, I don't know if you heard the Frank McCord interview yesterday. And by the way, anybody who missed it, my shows are archived on whiterosesociety.org. But Frank McCord said the secret to teaching, and probably he could have added the secret to life, was to do the thing that you have passion for, that you really love to do. And if you're involved in an activity you love to do, there are going to be other people doing it, more than likely.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
That's a great way to make friends.
Yeah, like I sing in the church choir. And you have like-minded people there who are doing the same thing you're doing, and you develop friendships that way, because if you do something you enjoy, if you feel a passion about, you're going to find other people who feel that same passion, and you're going to strike it off really well.
All right, so how come so many of us have nobody to confide in? 25% of us have nobody to talk to.
Well,
what does that mean?
I think it's quality over quantity. I mean, if you have one person you can really confide in and truly trust, then you've done very well. But you're talking about a spiritual matter too, and I think it's important. I mean, Kafka was the one who said we should be praying all day long, and so I think we're talking about a spiritual problem here as well.
Well, if he means sort of being meditative and sort of in touch with yourself instead of chowing down burritos,
right? But friendship is like a butterfly; it comes to you don't come to it.
That's a nice way of saying it. I don't know if that's exactly right. I don't know if that's right.
But, I mean, it's a situation where sometimes, I mean, I don't want to get too spiritual here, but sometimes God creates the opportunities for us, or things happen in our lives. It's a path sometimes where spiritual forces help us find the things we need to find in life.
Yes, and events push you into the arms of this or that activity, person, event, job, situation. Yes, and you have to be, you have to have enough equilibrium to know that. And the wonderful example that I like to use are the martial arts. If you're a big guy, if you're a six-footer, and you are not centered, a small kid can come over and push you over. But if you're a little person and you are completely centered, a big person can come over and try to push you over and will not be successful. So I think that if you're in balance, if you have a kind of inner balance going and an equilibrium, then I think you're more able to see the thing that comes to you, the possibility for an opportunity, instead of just you know, blowing it off or not realizing it for what the potential of it is. You could, and then you get a sense if you're, you know, kind of quiet and paying attention. You get a sense and you kind of get the sense that you ought to ride this wave. And it takes you in a better direction, takes you in a more resonant and consonant direction. Fred, I thank you very much for the call. I love your idea about the friendship being like a butterfly. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. I'm Enid Goldstein. We have friendships here like whales. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Slow to southbound 99 and on the way to Elk Grove Boulevard. We have two crashes over there. I-5 southbound and just past J Street, a three-car crash involving a big rig. And Hemlock and Madison Avenue, a two-car crash there as well. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Al Franken Show.
Whatever you decide the election is about, what matters is the Democratic Congress showing leadership. Some things will happen are lobbying reform and Medicare Part D, which what should have been all along, which is Medicare being able to bargain with the pharmaceutical companies like the VA does. Keep the cost down. That was an $80 giveaway to the pharmaceutical company.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays 9 to noon on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel.
Jamba Juice. No, Arden Fair Mall. Wait, Borders Books. Although, Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op.
Ma'am, do you want to think about it and call us back?
Nope, I'm going with Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Or Borders. But Arden Fair Mall.
Making the choice isn't always easy. When it comes to the environment, choosing to make it better is easy. Choose a cleaner, healthier environment by joining Smud's Greenergy. For as little as $3 a month, Smud will match your electricity use with energy created from clean, renewable resources like the wind and sun. It doesn't get much easier than that. Plus, get your choice of a free $10 gift certificate from Borders Books, Jamba Juice, Arden Fair Mall, or Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op when you enroll for 6 months or more.
I'll take Arden Fair. Or Borders. But the food co-op...
Start with the easy choice and join Smud's Greenergy today. Enroll online at smud.org or call 1-888-742-SMUD. Smud. The power to do more.
In the world of small business, you hear all kinds of offers for products and services, but have little time to listen. So you learn how to size things up quickly. Like this. For less than $95 a month, get AT&T Unlimited Local Calling, nationwide long distance, high-speed internet, and unified messaging. A service that consolidates messages from your email, fax, office phone, and wireless phone into a single mailbox. That's an 18% savings for the first year on our most essential services, backed by the most complete and secure network of the new AT&T. Call your AT&T small business expert at 1-888-ATT-8339 or go to att.com. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Available to businesses with 1 to 10 lines. Requires 1-year term. Taxes and other charges extra. For details of additional charges and requirements, call 888-288-1405, toll free.
The crisp of a fall morning. The winds of season change. The crackle of an evening fire in your home hearth. And the warmth of wood floors. Brazilian cherry, orchard walnut, Australian chestnut, just in time for the holidays. Now, today, you can have the luxury of hardwood floors, which are eco-friendly and only available at Green Sacramento. Hardwood floors from Eco Timber allow you to make a sustainable choice without sacrificing quality or value. At prices competitive with the big box stores. Now, today, you need to shop Green Sacramento, Fulton, and Alta Arden. You can have the warmth of hardwood floors in your home by the holidays. An Eco Timber floor is a healthy choice for your home and an eco-friendly choice for our forest, and they are only at Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. Now, today, you can have Eco Timber hardwood floors installed in your home by the holidays, where beauty, quality, and the best environmental practices come together to create a solid investment in your home. Now, today, make the stop. Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden, or on the web at greensacramento.com.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7. So we just have a few more minutes to wrap it up as we get ready to embrace the weekend. And it's kind of a holiday weekend. At least that's the way it feels. Geez, I saw an invitation to, I think, the Chicago Sun-Times Christmas party, and they're going to make it potluck. Isn't that depressing? We're having a really nice Christmas party, and it's not potluck. Isn't that awful? You're working for a big operation, and they're going to make a potluck. Not ours, not us, but the Chicago Sun-Times, that's kind of a fancy newspaper. We're talking about living life. We're talking about how friendship can be one of the richest things you have and the cause of real happiness. And we're talking about how, in a time when many of us have nobody to confide in, if you are married, it puts an added burden on marriage, and maybe marriage may not be good for your mental health because it sort of isolates you from the community. People who are not married are more out there. Don't you think they're more involved in more community events? They're involved in more community activities. They have the time to do it. They might volunteer. Do some kind of volunteer work. That's something that Ken could consider. He said he didn't have that many friends. Well, volunteer work. And I'm trying to think of where I met the people who became my friends. I've met them all over the place. I've met them in work environments. I've met them in college. And by the way, go Blue. Too bad Bo Schembechler, he's in heaven now. He's in football heaven now. But having gone to Michigan, I want Michigan to win over Ohio State. So, Hail to the victors, valiant. Yes. So, in any event, I've met people, good friends I met in school and college. I still have friends from high school, even in grade school, because there were a bunch of us that started out kindergarten together and we graduated from high school together, which you don't see so much anymore. But that was because I grew up in a really small town. But now everybody moves a lot, so you don't have that kind of a situation anymore. So I'm even friendly with people that I started out in kindergarten with. And I guess wherever I became friends with somebody I almost but never did rent an apartment from. I met them. I didn't take the apartment. It was actually a house. Actually, it was here in Sacramento. It didn't work out, but they became my friends. An older couple. And let me see. I'm trying to think of other people that I have worked with in various places. So friends are wonderful. You know, look at your possessions when you're at home. One of the great things, what's sort of great about, I was thinking about living life, is that your life is a product of a zillion very tiny decisions. Every day you're making decisions. And those decisions are going to take you in one direction or they're going to take you in another direction. And they may be microscopic kind of decisions. If you're trying to fight a certain addiction, weight gain, cigarettes, booze, crack, whatever it is, the decision you make puts you one way or the other way. Are you going to light the cigarette up or you're not? Are you going to eat that, you know, four candy bars or you're not? Are you going to, you know, are you going to get your work done or are you going to not? Are you going to deal with an issue that needs your attention or are you going to shove it under the rug? So every you're the product of a zillion different decisions. And all of those tiny microscopic decisions influence what direction your life is going to go. And if you're really, really quiet, if you can do that, if you can find some silence and it doesn't scare you, because in that silence is where the stuff you're trying to avoid, like your anxiety, fear, like a lot of things, will start to, you know, trumpet out. And if you can deal with that stuff and just breathe in and breathe out and just look at it like you were a scientist looking at somebody, at something that you just found on the floor, you start to begin to have a handle over it. And if you get quiet enough, life tells you how to live it. All you do is you just, you know, sometimes if you're a writer, it can happen that you get in this, it doesn't happen often, it's happened to me only a few times, but you get into this sort of space where all you are, you're just, it's coming in from somewhere, you don't even know where, and you're just taking it down. It's like you're just a stenographer. And in a way, leading life is a little bit like that. It sort of tells you how to live it, but you have to be attuned to it. So if there's a possibility for an opportunity, I mean, there's some opportunities that are pretty obvious that they are opportunities. So the whole business of happiness has to do with being with people, making time for people in a time, in a society when you are sold all kinds of ersatz things that are supposed to make you happy. Well, if you get just the right car, that's going to, if you have just the right relationship, that is going to make you happy. God bless you if you can find that, just the right relationship. If you go to MySpace, you know who you're going to find on MySpace? Well, I think this is pretty interesting. I'm not somebody who likes to shop by mail very much. So this business of meeting people online is not anything that interests me terribly. But there's MySpace is being attacked because there are people on death row who are posting on MySpace. They have pages on MySpace, which is used by a lot of teenagers around the world, millions of teenagers. And I don't know if they identify themselves as being on death row or not, but it turns out that, so you really don't know what you're getting. This is why it used to be a very nice thing when you met people when you were growing up, because somebody knew them. It was the son or daughter of your mother's friend, or your cousin's friend, or you met your cousin's roommate, or you there was that whole network. And now I think it's way more attenuated. So happiness, it'll add 7 years of your life if you can figure out how to be happy, and you have a choice. If you're not happy, you'll conk out sooner and you'll make your beneficiaries happier. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you. I'm very happy about the traffic. That makes me happy today. Hardly any to report. However, we do have an accident on Madison Avenue and Hemlock. I-80 going westbound on the right-hand side just past Madison. There's a three-car crash. Otherwise, looking good. Everything's been cleaned up. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
There's never been a better time to buy a Nissan than during Future Nissan's National Year-End Sales Event. Incredible savings like the new 06 Nissan Altima 2.5S Automatic Special Edition starting as low as $16,685 after your $3,000 rebate. Buy at this price. Hurry to Future Nissan, because at $16,685, these new 06 Nissan Altima 2.5S Special Editions won't last. Future Nissan in the Roseville Auto Mall, I-80 and Eureka Road. $1,000 customer cash is for engine replacement vehicles only.
Dimes are shiny and round. Nickels are also round.
This 28-year-old woman may sound a little strange to you and me, but to her 3-year-old daughter, she makes perfect sense.
Pennies are round, too.
They are.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take everyday moments like an errand at the bank and turn them into learning moments.
Dollars are rectangles.
I like dollars.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either. This is L.A.
Some fun. 650. We want to be happy and we want to live 7 years longer. 653 on the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours for just a few minutes longer as we head out for the weekend. And I'm having a Thanksgiving dinner actually with on Sunday night. My first Thanksgiving dinner will be on Sunday night because of those friends are dispersing all over the place, and so they won't be together on Thursday. And they all love to cook, and aren't I lucky that that's the case? So I'm I don't know all the people. I just know my one good friend who I hired, and that's how we became friends. So the idea that we could buy happiness when what it takes to be happy is to live it and is to find it, it's always there. And I think we always have a choice about it. So if you have some thoughts about achieving happiness, which means achieving a longer, better life, I would love to hear from you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The idea that marriage is what's going to make us happy, or relationship is what's going to make us happy. It may be that marriage is not really good for our mental health. And it turns out, one of the shocking numbers is, that has come out of the study is that people are in the workforce, so they don't, you know, you come home and you're exhausted. But that parents are, now, and I don't know if I think this is actually true, because it doesn't, mothers and fathers today, they're saying, are spending even more time with their youngsters than parents did 40 years ago. Does that square with your experience, or with kids in daycare, is that actually the case? 349-1320. Crazy Jack in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hello.
Hello.
Jack, welcome.
Yes. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I wanted to mention about what makes me happy.
What does?
Most of the time would be sitting on the front porch or going fishing.
Really? Well, fishing.
Well, you know, you don't have to think about anything when you're out fishing.
Right.
And, you know, if you're with a good friend, that even makes it a lot better, too, or a relative.
Yeah. But do you do you prefer to do it with somebody or by yourself?
Either way, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm out and I can, you know, just basically have my own thoughts to work with and not think about troubles, because you're working hard trying to catch a fish that you can let go and catch them again.
Well, I think that's a wonderful prescription for happiness, and I like the idea of fishing because it's quiet, you're in nature, gives you time to really mull things over, and it sounds like you're going to live to be 1,000, Crazy Jack.
I hope so, because I'm looking forward to calling you as often as I can.
Well,
sometimes I miss you because I have to go into an appointment you know, I get in traffic, and, you know, sometimes your radio station goes off the air, like, intermittently.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah. I've been, you know, other stations that I've called into do as well.
Oh.
And, you know, when I try to call in and talk to one of your friends named Christine, for the matter.
Oh, well, I thought you're cheating on me. You want to stay monogamous and be with AM 1320, Jack. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Ross and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ross.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank
Happy
you.
Thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you. I'm gonna have my turkey a little bit early, and then again on Thursday.
Well, just parse your portions.
I know it. I know. This is when you want to send away for an auxiliary stomach.
Yeah, that's me too. I just wanted to call in and let you know what I think happiness is. And
what is happiness? Tell me.
It has to do, it's got a few meanings in the dictionary, and I really look at the dictionary for most of my meanings, and I'm not disappointed most of the time. You've heard of the word hapless, right?
Yes.
And that's connected to happy, right? The E on happy means full of. That's what E, when you stick it on the as a suffix,
okay,
it means full of hap. Hapless means no hap. Hap, like happenstance,
mm-hmm.